Severe Weather Center 11.
It is 34 degrees now at DVE. I'm Val Porter. Going to be a blustery, windy day today, so just get used to it. It's winter officially now. former White House advisor is expected to turn himself in today for ignoring a subpoena. Steve Bannon was charged with contempt of Congress on Friday after refusing to testify before a House committee investigating January's Capitol attack. The 67-year-old also refused to turn over documents. The committee is considering holding two other allies of former President Donald Trump in contempt for the same thing. The Biden administration's attempt to make COVID vaccines mandatory for larger employers has been dealt another setback. A three-judge panel of the Fifth U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals on Friday upheld its decision to place the order on hold, calling the mandate fatally flawed. The decision may soon be appealed all the way to the Supreme Court. This all comes as U.S. Surgeon General Vivek Murthy was busy yesterday touting the effectiveness of vaccine mandates. Appearing on Fox News Sunday, he said he wants employee questions answered when it comes to vaccines, but stressed that mandates are important and they work. He said people shouldn't forget that the biggest threat to the workforce right now is COVID-19. Public health experts aren't as hardcore this year about avoiding indoor Thanksgiving gatherings, but with COVID-19 still a threat, they want to steer clear of large maskless events. A survey of 28 medical experts by Stat Health News found most are also fine with traveling for the holidays, but they should avoid things like large indoor events. Americans are having difficulty keeping their blood pressure under control during the pandemic. A new study presented over the weekend at an annual meeting of the American Heart Association found a significant drop in the number of people able to keep blood pressure at a healthy level in 2020, often because they skipped the doctor or the doctor was closed. I don't know how the doctor is closed.
The doctor's closed?
This year, the blood pressure issues have started to develop into more serious health problems. Sam's Club is issuing a recall for packages of its Member's Mark beef stick dog treats sold in the Pittsburgh area and nationwide. Sam's Club parent company Walmart said over the weekend the product is being recalled over possible contamination from metal fragments. The dog treats have been sold in 2.2-pound bags at Sam's Club's location since March. Customers who purchase the treats should discard them and then return to the point of purchase for a refund. According to a new survey, single men just don't care about sex anymore. 81% of those surveyed admitted sex is now less important than when all the coronavirus stuff started. And doctors said, no, that makes sense. As things got screwed up out there because of the virus, testosterone levels dropped, pretty much putting the sex drive of men on pause. But as single guys are having and wanting less sex, they do seem to now have a greater appreciation for relationships and love.
I just think porn has a huge part in that.
Does porn make you want a relationship?
No.
No.
Makes you not. I'm saying it's like killing people's guys' sex drive.
I know, but this doctor says it's leaving men more interested in relationships. And love.
Oh,
they're all porned out.
They've been through the whole thing. Yeah, they dated everyone on porn.
Eternals remains the top movie in North America. The Marvel superhero picture earned $27.5 million in its second weekend in theaters in the U.S. and Canada. Coming in second is the new Paramount family film Clifford the Big Red Dog. And in third place, Dune, rounding out the top five, James Bond, No Time to Die, and Venom, Let There Be Carnage. Slash, Zakk Wylde, Dee Snider, and Robbie Krieger, The Doors, are among the artists included on Legacy, a tribute to Leslie West. That'll be out on March 25th. And finally, detectives are reportedly telling Hannah Daughtry's family that her death was a homicide. Sources close to the family telling TMZ that her boyfriend, Bobby Jolly, was taken into custody in Tennessee. Police didn't reveal details about the arrest or whether he is a suspect in the 25-year-old woman's death. The local DA confirming that Fentress County is conducting an investigation. Singer Chris Daughtry released a statement asking for privacy and postponing his current tour after his stepdaughter's sudden death. Expect flurries today, only about 40 for the high. It's 34 at DVE.
All right. We did not lose yesterday, and we have to keep that in mind. The Steelers tied the Lions is a sad sentence. Nonetheless, yeah. A true one. 16-16 in a game that made the NFL reconsider whether they should continue as a league. It was so unentertaining.
It was bad.
It was really hard to, get into that game. By the end, I think I might have been rooting against the Steelers at one point. I'm not sure. You deserve to lose. You don't deserve to win this. Kind of one of those things. Deontay Johnson fumbling, Pat Freiermuth fumbling. And I will say this for all the Mason haters out there. Mason didn't fumble the ball twice. He threw it away one time, the one bad pick, which I'm not sure if that was a wrong route. It looked like it was just an overthrow. And he did miss Ray wide open in the end zone on third down. This one, I think, came down to some weird coaching decisions to not rely on the stud running back in key situations. Also, defensively, I don't know. It's a little... Devin Bush, I get that he had surgery last year, but at this point, you would think he would be past it. And, you know, inside linebacker, middle linebackers for the Steelers having some trouble again yesterday. And injuries, the scary thing now, because TJ Watt goes off with a hip and a knee, but he still stood on the sidelines, Bill.
Yeah, I mean, he looked like he got off the field on his own. That was a scary moment. I immediately started a GoFundMe, and now he has a hip. So I don't know what that is, but that's scary.
It is scary because hard to see a path out of here with no Melvin Ingram. And I still can't believe they couldn't make that work. I mean, wouldn't it have been worth it to play Melvin Ingram more this year and just maybe stunt Highsmith's maturation because of a situation like this? Like, all right, look, he's going to get plenty of reps again. You know, Bud Dupree didn't come on until his third or fourth year. And I think, you know, Highsmith's still making some mistakes. I get that. But this is all 2020 hindsight. These are things you say when you tie the Lions.
Randy, we knew this when they signed him, that was a great signing because they didn't have any depth at outside linebacker. Right. And we knew when they just capitulated to him wanting to be traded back that was a bad move because it's a long season with 17 games, and you know you're going to get some injuries along the way, and guys are going to need a blow in games, and there's going to be different matchups. And I don't know why they couldn't figure that out.
Mike Pursuta will be in at the bottom of the hour trying to help you figure that out. Tim Benz, Jerry Dulac, also from the Pittsburgh Steeler Radio Network, will be on the show. A power hour of Steeler talk with Stan Saverin. The Browns got decimated. The Ravens got beat by the Dolphins Thursday night. It was perfect situation for the Steelers to get a win and be atop the AFC North by themselves. And now this muddles things. It muddies and muddles. It does both.
It's a tie, man.
It's a tie.
Have you ever seen a team make that many mistakes and not lose? If we weren't playing the worst
Detroit.
Team in the league, I mean, it was, geez, nobody wanted to win.
Ozzy Osbourne kicking things off this morning. It's the DVE.
In the shotgun, Rudolph takes the snap, throws the out. It's pulled in by Freiermuth. And the ball is out, and they dive for it. And I think the Lions have fallen on it. Yep. It is Deshaun Hand who ended up with the football on Freiermuth's mistake. 8 seconds to go.
Yeah. It was a bad play from the start. What are they going to do there if he doesn't get out of bounds? Probably not going to get another playoff. Or, you know, maybe we do. Super long field goal either way. Stupid all the way around. A lot of bad play. Freiermuth, Deontay Johnson, key fumbles that would have...
Two fumbles in overtime.
In overtime. I mean...
Come on.
Less so with the...
Slippy out there.
It was slippy. The weather was brutal. And none of us were there yesterday. I'd wanted to go, but could not. You know, I was off Thursday and Friday. I got a concussion, and I'm having a hard time. It's real slow going.
Still.
Yeah, real slow going, and I'm going to be even foggier than normal, which I know is, that's, people are probably making different radio plans upon hearing that right now. They're like, well, I can barely tolerate you at 100%. So I couldn't go to the game. Bill's into COVID protocol right now, and he's at home.
Yep.
So he's doing the show from home today. And I was going to do the show from home, but then I figured that would just make me have to look at screens even more, which I'm not supposed to do.
But you're doing right now.
But you're
what
doing
am I
going
to do?
Anyways.
Just never go to work?
No, well, I'm just saying you're looking at Bill.
But I'm trying not to. Bill, you can.
Yeah, I noticed that.
Okay.
I feel you not looking at me, and I appreciate the situation.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking over once in a while during like cue points, but I'm trying not to stare at Bill. Look, it is what it is. Okay? It's that time of the year. Some of us have concussions.
We're hurt.
Some of us are in the protocol.
You got to play hurt.
That's right, Val.
Midseason.
We're hurt. It's a long season. I wish we had Melvin Ingram on the show, but we don't. We should have kept that guy.
If we had a Melvin Ingram, he would have got a lot of airtime today. Alas, we do not. Steelers tie.
I said to Mike this morning, I have seen the future of Steelers football.
Well, that's an interesting thought, because is it?
Is it?
I hope not.
I think that Mason Rudolph has always comported himself as a decent number two quarterback. And yesterday did nothing to disprove that.
Okay, so where do they go for number one?
Great question.
To the number one store.
You know, the Aaron Rodgers saga, notwithstanding, because I don't think that's going to happen. There are different ways to bring in quarterbacks here. I don't think that this is a particularly quarterback draft or quarterback-rich draft this coming year. So I don't think you're going to see the Steelers, you know, sell out to get somebody, particularly after they were burned with the Devin Bush trade, which right now is not looking good, trading up 10 spots to get a guy that Robert Spillane gets key downs over. But there are some vet quarterbacks who may be in situations like Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers is under contract next year. He's not a free agent.
Yeah, well, what are we even talking about then?
Great question, Val. The whole saga was annoying for that reason. He's just trying to kind of play his way out of town, and you've seen what kind of, you know, of a jerk he is.
You can do that now. That is
Melvin Ingram.
That works. That works now.
Yeah, Melvin Ingram did it.
They've set precedent.
They have. Mike will be in just a little bit. We'll start to parse through what that was yesterday. The good, the bad, the ugly. The Steelers ended without their guards. Their starting guards both injured yesterday.
So one of my questions is who, if Ben is positive, he's not just in protocol, he tested positive.
Yes.
Who else has been exposed?
Well, he woke up with symptoms on Saturday morning, went right in and got tested, and tried to stay away from people when he did. Which, kudos to Ben for following the protocol, unlike Aaron Rodgers. You know, I made a joke about it yesterday. People thought I was like defending Aaron Rodgers. I was just saying this was so bad. You know, Mason's performance was not great. And Aaron Rodgers is such a jerk, he would have just played anyways.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but that's what happens when the Steelers tie or play terrible against the Lions, is that everybody forgets what a joke is, and just, it's no fun.
Yeah, it was, yeah. That's, I'm done trying to make a joke on Twitter. That was,
yeah, what are you thinking?
I don't know. It was, I so clearly a joke, I thought, and people were very upset. How dare you joke about COVID? I'm like, I'm not joking about COVID. I'm joking about what a jerk Aaron Rodgers is and how bad our quarterback is. But
today's his fiance's birthday.
Shailene Woodley?
Yeah, she's 30.
Well, now Aaron Rodgers dates Shailene Woodley, but Mason Rudolph dates, what's her name? Jeannie?
No idea.
I don't know. She's like a tennis star.
Don't know.
Yeah, that's right.
That dude gets like...
Do you think Aaron Rodgers is going to get her like a clay cake, or how will they celebrate?
A clay cake.
Ivermectin cupcakes. Pie. Yeah. Here's some immunization cookies. On the way for you, Mike Pursuta, when we come back. I mean, it's almost like a loss. You could be like, all right, we lost. But this is somehow worse. I don't know why. It feels...
Because it was an ugly game. Just the game itself, regardless of who the two teams were, sucked.
Yeah, and they made you watch it all the way till the very...
And it went to overtime.
Oh, so
and,
bad.
And it's like... I can't even describe what it's like.
After the Bears just took you to overtime, and you almost lost that game. Like, you got out of there by the skin of your teeth, and you thought, oh, my God. Well, at least they won that game. It was a weird week. A lot of upsets. Let's get right against Detroit. And then Saturday, that news about Ben comes out, and you're like, oh, man. Well, at least we're going up against Detroit with Mason Rudolph. Let's see what he... Oh, this is terrible.
So why...
This is terrible.
Why throw the ball 50 times? It just makes...
Seeing what he can do.
There's no great answer for that.
Or how about why not run Najee Harris first and goal? They didn't even have him in the game. Did you think you were going to be down there 10 more times? We don't need him down there on this one. Aggravating. They're going empty set from first and goal.
That was so dumb.
Mike's got your sports. The full report from the locker room. Post-game, post-mortem. The reaction next. DVE.
Level at Walgreens. DVE Sports.
All right, Mike Pursuta has your sports now on the DVE Morning Show.
Sports is now brought to you by Bridgeville Appliance. The Steelers didn't lose to the winless Lions yesterday afternoon at Heinz Field, but they're 16-16 tie with the winless Lions sure felt like a loss. Of course it did. Here's Joe Schobert.
I think especially at the end, getting the ball into field goal range, trying to close out the game and get a win. A loss in the NFL always, I mean, a tie in the NFL always feels like a loss when you get to the locker room because you're not adding one to the win column. And I mean, it's a half game. It might make a difference at the end, but to let it slip away because you're that close, definitely hurts.
Yeah, on a day of countless misplays and mistakes and head-scratching decisions, the Steelers saved their worst for last. In overtime, 2nd and 8 from the Steelers' 19, Mason Rudolph hits Deontay Johnson for 39 yards to the Lions' 42-yard line, but Johnson forgets to secure the ball before he gets tackled. And Mark Gilbert, cornerback cut by the Steelers in training camp, hammers it out and the Steelers don't get a chance to kick a game-winning field goal. And then 1st and 10 from the Detroit 39, 15 seconds left in regulation. They get the ball to Pat Freiermuth for a yard to the Lions 38, but he fumbles before he either goes down or gets out of bounds, and the Lions recover, and that was that. 16-16 against a winless team.
They have... more problems securing the ball than just it was wet out there. I really think they need to concentrate on this because Ray Ray constantly makes himself vulnerable, and there has to be some sort of feeling of now it's time to protect the ball from Deontay Johnson there.
A little awareness would go a long way, and they didn't have it, and they did not get the result they sought. 5-3-1 still trails the Ravens, but they actually gained a half game on Baltimore in the AFC North standings. And the Steelers are the 5th seed in the AFC playoff standings as they sit today at 5-3.
Playoffs?
Just behind the 6-4 Kansas City Chiefs. The problem is, A, quarterback Ben Roethlisberger, according to Mike Tomlin, was symptomatic. So who knows when he can make it back. B, T.J. Watt exited with hip and knee injuries. And C, the schedule gets a whole lot tougher over the last 8 games. No more winless teams.
Yeah, they really blew an opportunity there yesterday. You know, they got away with one against Chicago. They needed to take advantage of it by making sure they vanquished the Lions. Now, if Ben doesn't get COVID, do you have any doubt that they win that game?
I think they blow him out if Roethlisberger plays.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, me too.
But he didn't, and they didn't. And go ahead, Val.
Is this Steelers team better than average?
I think so.
Average as you perceive it or average in the NFL this year? Because I think those are two different things.
Okay, well then, not how I perceive it.
They're better than average in the league this year.
Okay.
The record says so.
That's average, no matter how you perceive it.
But it's the NFL's not a league anymore where the great teams are great like they used to be great. It's parity rules. The league wants this. This is what sells it. Anybody can beat anybody
like
any Sunday.
Jacksonville beating the Bills.
Almost every team is in it to the very end, and the playoff race is convoluted, and it's tiebreaker this and strength of schedule that, and it's chaos. And
I mean, the Buccaneers just lost yesterday to the Red Hogs. Things happen.
Did anybody else jump on to live bet the Red Hogs when they went down 10 points thinking, no way they're going to lose this? Right. I'm going to get some good odds in Tom Brady.
Well, you probably got your good odds.
I got the good odds.
Najee Harris, 26 carries for 105 yards. That's a 4.0 average per carry. Steelers ran
it. Good thing we didn't run him more.
Steelers ran it 31 times, including a couple of scrambles by Mason Rudolph, and they threw it 50 times.
50.
On a crappy day when it was wet.
Unacceptable.
And
with your backup quarterback, who found out he was going to play 12 hours for the game.
Even when they caught it, they couldn't hold on to it, which is really the most important part. Not a winning effort all the way around, as Mike Tomlin was willing to acknowledge.
Just too sloppy to win. Core fundamental things, man, you know. We didn't tackle well enough throughout the game defensively. And then in the most critical moments, man, we didn't maintain possession of the ball on offense. And so we got to accept responsibility for the outcome of the game, and we do. We look at what it is that we can do and how we could have done it better in terms of changing the outcome of the game, and we didn't do enough. And those are two of the things that highlighted it just from a knee-jerk response or a feel in terms of watching it from within the stadium.
Lions ran the ball 39 times for 229 yards. They had touchdown runs of 42 and 28 yards. But here's the really curious part about Detroit's offensive performance. Maybe curious isn't the right word, but as bad as that looked at times, and as offensive as 229 yards rushing are to anybody with any pride in defense or capability on defense, Detroit came in averaging 321.1 yards a game total offense and gained 306 yards. The Lions came in averaging 16.8 points a game and scored 16. Now, again, it looked absurd at times. But after the Lions' touchdown in the third quarter that made it 16-10, there was almost 13 minutes left in the game, and Detroit got four first downs for the remainder of regulation. The defense fixed what was wrong. The defense wasn't the problem. The offense got to do better. Just got to do better.
Yeah, I mean, you don't have Ben Roethlisberger. You don't have Chase Claypool. You know, you've been without Juju. Things aren't ideal. I thought they would have relied on tight ends more when they were going to throw the ball. Certainly Ray stepped up, though. I think I'm so frustrated with him. He nearly fumbled it away again yesterday.
He got targeted 12 times, which is strange to me. Ended up with 9 catches for 63 yards. Pat Freiermuth ended up with 5 catches for 9 yards and one big fumble at the end. Here's Mason Rudolph.
Yeah, I mean, he was trying to get out of bounds, and I thought that was our best opportunity to get quick 5-6 and get out of bounds. And he's a good player. You know, obviously, you know, hurt for him. He's never had a ball security issue, and it happens to all of us in those moments at times. And, young player, so he's a hard worker, and I know he's going to come back and attack this week, we all have things to correct. Trust me, I have plenty of balls that I would like back, and so does everyone on our offense.
Yeah, no argument. The whole Freiermuth play, 1st and 10 from the 39 with 15 seconds left.
So you're at a 56-yard field goal right there.
Yeah, you don't have any timeouts. They threw it to him at the 38. I mean, was that worth gaining one more yard?
No.
I mean, just kick it from there if that's what you're going to do. Or run it and try to get up and spike. 15 is right on the line for being able to run a play, get up, reset, and spike the ball.
Right.
It's very close. I don't know if they would have been able to do that or not. had he, but you know, he was going to gain one more yard. You went through all that and then ended up losing the ball for 1 yard. Who thought that was a good idea?
Mike, didn't it seem to you like Detroit really adjusted to the short passing game of the Steelers? Once they realized that Mason was not pushing the ball down the field, it seemed like every little out bubble screen, weird little configuration they tried to get a guy a ball in space, he had it was like the same story all over again. Three defenders on right on top of him.
Yeah, it was difficult. The drive for the tying field goal ended up being 17 yards. That was all Najee Harris. Now, he ended up 27 combined yards because they had an offensive pass interference penalty, which they had multiple ones of those yesterday. Rudolph ended up 30 of 50 for 242 yards, one touchdown, one pick. 70.6 was his rating. He looked to me like what he is, which is backup caliber, uninspiring. Yeah. Kind of knows where the ball's supposed to go, but doesn't always get it there on time and on target.
I have no doubt that he is schooled on what he is supposed to do. It's the talent behind that, you know? Like, I know I feel like he knows how to read the defense the right way. He knows where he should, you know, his first look should be in blitz situations. He knows where, but it's that throw. It's, he got away with a couple yesterday that could have been picked too if it was a better team, better weather, etc. Although you could say that about Ben for a lot of games. I don't think anyone sees Mason Rudolph as the future quarterback of the Pittsburgh Steelers. You know, he'll be better next week, assuming Ben doesn't play next week, because if he was symptomatic, I'm not sure. How many days do you need? He is vaccinated.
He's got to be asymptomatic and then get two positive tests in 24 hours. Or negative tests, I'm sorry.
Bill, you have a little more experience with the COVID situation. Do you know how long, how quickly can he go from being positive to negative?
Well, the doctor that I talked to said that basically the virus stops replicating or duplicating in your body and regenerating at 10 days and you stop shedding at 14.
Even if you're vaccinated?
Yeah.
So Ben's out for 14 days?
Well, I mean,
I would assume everybody's different.
I have no idea.
Okay.
Yeah, but keep he's got to be.
You heard it here, folks. Bill Crawford.
He's got to be asymptomatic, and he's got to have two negative tests. And until then,
I didn't know if that meant, well, sometimes it's 3 days, sometimes it's five, or it's always at least seven. Because if it's always at least seven, we're in trouble.
Steelers at the Chargers this coming Sunday. Pitt moves up to number 20 in the AP Top 25, released yesterday in the wake of that victory over North Carolina last Thursday. Penn State drops out of the Top 25 after Saturday's come-from-ahead 21-17 loss to Michigan. It's Georgia, Alabama, Cincinnati, Oregon, and Ohio State, your top five, followed by Notre Dame, Michigan State, Michigan, Oklahoma State, and Ole Miss. The College Football Playoff Committee fantasy ratings will come out tomorrow night. That'll be their third fantasy draft of college teams.
Fantasies.
Penguins 6-1 losers in D.C. against the Capitals. That in the wake of a 6-3 loss in Ottawa on Saturday night, a game in which the Pens trailed 5-0 in the third period. The good news is Sidney Crosby's back.
So they're losing with him now.
They got Sullivan, but I think pretty much everybody would have getting Malkin is back now.
So. Quick break, and we'll come back. Tim Benz joining us here on the D.
Shotgun snap, he's back, throws it down the field, and intercepted, and they throw the flag. Minkah Fitzpatrick jumped the rep, but the flag is down. Let's see why. They called defensive holding on the Steelers.
Oh, Minkah saw the whole play unfolding right in front of him.
Holding, defense, 5-yard penalty, an automatic first down.
One of several killers for the Steelers yesterday. Penalties abounding on both sides, really. Detroit and Pittsburgh with their fair share. Tim Benz from the Pittsburgh Steelers Radio Network and Trib Life Sports, sponsored by Don's Appliances, joining us now. Benzie, so many mistakes. That one, Devin Bush, as they pointed out on the broadcast, didn't even need to hold that guy. You got safety help there. and that negates the interception. It seemed like right when we were about to pull out of our heads out of our you-know-what, there was someone else there to just pound it back in.
Yeah, I think if the Steelers pulled their heads out of their collective you-know-what, they'd just fumble it right back anyway.
Yeah.
So that's the way it was going in overtime.
Even the Najee Harris touchdown, that was called back because of a penalty. First and goal, we end up not even putting him in there. I'm not sure what the coaches were doing, although, as Mike's pointed out, you had the touchdown with Ray Ray. My counter to that is, yeah, but we couldn't throw it 6 yards. And that's why we should have not gone out empty set first and goal.
Right, because if you can then run the ball 2 yards, maybe two more yards, then Rudolph can make the throw for the final 2 yards.
Right. Oh, I know he can throw it too.
You know, it's kind of like playing shortstop instead of second base. You can make the throw from second, but you can't make it from short. You know, that's the length to which you have to make an analogy for the Steelers' passing game because it's so compact, and I heard you guys talking about that during the sportscast. And to your point about the officiating, Randy, it struck me, I didn't think that the game was particularly well officiated, but it was worthy of that bad game.
Yes.
As bad as that game was, it deserved bad refs, and they had some. And after the way things went against the Bears last week, I don't think Steelers fans have a lot of room to complain about the officiating. There might have been some football karma at work there yesterday.
Yeah, a little evening out. Okay, let's first assess Mason Rudolph. Is it more lack of performance issues with Mason or the coaches expecting too much of him given the circumstances?
I think he gave a he-is-what-he-is kind of performance yesterday. I don't think that the coaches put him in the best position possible by asking him to throw 50 times to a depleted wideout core in bad weather. I didn't like the lack of usage of the tight ends. I think if you're going to have Mason Rudolph in and going to throw as often as you are, without Juju Smith-Schuster as a safety net option in short yardage situation on 5 and 6 yard passes, you had Ebron dressed. Ebron can basically beat Juju. Juju's a big, tough wide receiver that's kind of like a tight end in some senses, and Ebron's a tight end that's more like a wide receiver, so use him accordingly. Pat Freiermuth was not targeted enough for my liking until overtime, and of course, for as much as I was complaining about the lack of tight ends, they both kind of screwed up in overtime. Freiermuth had the fumble, and then Ebron had that leap, which looked like me trying to dunk a basketball. I mean, I don't know what was going on with that. I think it was just Mason Rudolph being who he was, not being put in the best position. And my goodness, if you're going to stick with the run game to the tune of 3.5 yards per carry, but say, you know what, this run game is going to help us win regardless, and you're going to do that against Cleveland, who had the number two run defense in football going into that week at the time, well, then you should be able to do it against the Detroit Lions, whose run defense was, what, Mike, like 26th?
43rd, I think.
they fell back into another league.
Tim, so I wanted to ask you because
I stuck with the run game a little bit more.
Tim, I wanted to ask you. I know that that Mason Rudolph went to college with James Washington. I was made aware of that on Twitter several times, on the broadcast several times. But did he go to prep school with Ray Ray McLeod? Do you have any clue why the Steelers' game plan involved Ray Ray getting more catches and targets than he's ever gotten in college or the pros yesterday?
No idea. That was baffling to me. That augmented my disdain for the lack of targets to the tight ends, that the guy who was getting the ball thrown his way so much more often was the guy who came into the season supposedly nothing more than the return man and the gadget guy. Again, going back to, do you need to throw it 50 times? No, you do not if 12 of those targets are going at Ray Ray McLeod.
It was super annoying aspect of the game. Defensively, you know, but for the time when they couldn't figure out that Jared Goff was unable to throw the ball, the defense comported themselves okay. Like Mike just reported, 16-point average per game for this team. They're pretty much kept right there. Total yardage, they were pretty much kept right there. Cam Hayward making some big plays, but it really feels like the inside linebacker situation for the Steelers is untenable.
Again, it's just chasing after what Ryan Shazier was supposed to be for so many years now. They've tried everything. They've tried to piece it together with afterthought guys from other teams. They've tried to trade for who they perceive to be good players from other teams. They've moved up in the draft. They've tried to find guys from their own practice squad. Nothing has worked, and it continues to be a problem. And Mike asked the question of Mike Tomlin following the game in the press conference about, you know, was it just the tackling that was the problem? And, you know, Tomlin's response was largely it was, and that's true. But at the same time, there were massive holes that were being opened up front. Guys who were blocked at the second level couldn't get off of blocks. Even guys up front who were blocked initially couldn't fight off of blocks to close the holes. There were issues beyond just the inside linebackers, but yeah, that level of the defense stood out.
You know, I think the Steelers oftentimes, especially on third down, they ball hawk so much after they give up the third down or the first down, you know, they let the runner advance another 5 or 6 yards while they're just trying to knock it out instead of just making a tackle.
I think there's a lot of truth to that. I think we saw that towards the end of the game, before the long field goal try and a couple runs. I think we saw that on occasion in overtime, especially. That's when it's called for, when you feel like the game is slipping away. I can understand it there, but not in the middle of the second and third quarter.
I mean, yeah, they do it all game. I feel like they constantly try to attack the ball first and then tackle if that doesn't work. Shouldn't it
right,
be the other way around? Like tackle because, and then go for the ball.
Yeah, because like
simultaneously, if possible.
In Cleveland, you know, when you've got Jarvis Landry and you can rip the ball away and you've got him secured, at least he's not going to go any further and you got help on either side. Yeah, rip the ball away. But when you have a fast player that's got some moves like DeAndre Swift in the open field, for your first level of attention should be just wrap him up, get in good position so he can't get around you, tackle him. And then if you're holding him up and somebody comes along, then that guy can rip the ball away. But, you know, I see what you're talking about, Randy, and I do think that was a problem at times in the second and third quarters where their run game just went crazy.
Yeah, they're not the only team that does it that way. Turnovers have become so big in the NFL.
Well, the Steelers are bad at them.
Marlon Humphrey.
Yeah, they need to get more.
Marlon Humphrey, the Ravens, punches first and tackles second.
TJ's been doing it a lot.
Yeah. I'm not saying I agree with it, but.
That's how it's being done. Yeah. All right, well, now they find themselves in a worse-off position than they would have been had they been able to beat these guys and be 6-3. So now you are 5-3-1 in the division, which looks much less challenging than it had at the beginning of the season. Where do the Steelers go from here?
Well, the loss is so deflating to the Lions because, excuse me, the tie. Yeah, it feels like a loss.
It might as well be, yeah.
16, they lost. Yeah, that's how I view it. The game against the Lions is so deflating because if you look at the standings, like if you're 6-3 and, you know, you've won 5 in a row by that point, you can just say to yourself, okay, we're halfway through. We got 8 games left. If we split these, we're going to have 10 wins. With the AFC the way it's going, we're probably going to get in. Now, you're already talking about they're going to need some help if they split those games to get to the playoffs at 9-7-1. It's similar. Like I feel like we're going to look at this tie the same way we looked at that Cleveland tie when they ended up 9-6-1 and they missed the playoffs by a half game. Like I just feel like it's going to hang over all the way between now and the end of the season. It's just that Cleveland game, if I remember, is the first game of the season, and they had it hanging over their heads forever.
Yeah.
So, but I feel the same way about this tie against the Lions.
It's the standings equivalent of a missed extra point. Tim Benz. Thanks.
Well, that's one thing they didn't do yesterday.
Yeah.
They did the game before against Chicago.
Yeah, the Lions took care of it for him. Tim Benz, Trib Live Sports. Thanks, Tim.
All right, guys.
Jared Eel, join us later.
See you, Tim.
The, I don't know, bottom 5 plays of the game. How do we do that on a game like yesterday? One of the worst.
Replay the game in its entirety.
Oh, God.
five plays in overtime. Let's limit it to just overtime.
Well, it's going to take a while to cut that down to size, Bill.
That was a slog.
They went a full 10 minutes OT.
Val's news coming up next.
Berg.
Kudos to Ben for following the protocol, unlike Aaron Rodgers. You know, I made a joke about it yesterday. People thought I was, like, defending Aaron Rodgers.
Today's his fiancée's birthday.
Shailene Woodley?
Yeah, she's 30.
Well, now Aaron Rodgers dates Shailene Woodley, but Mason Rudolph dates, what's her name? Jeannie?
No idea.
I don't know. She's like a tennis star.
Don't know.
Yeah, that's right.
That dude gets like...
Do you think Aaron Rodgers is going to get her like a clay cake, or how will they celebrate?
A clay cake. Ivermectin cupcakes. Yeah.
Randy Bauman and the DVE Morning Show.
Brutal game yesterday. The Steelers tie the Lions. That sounds sad just saying it aloud. Like, we tied the Lions. And they made you watch as long as is allowed by the rules of football.
We can't make this go on anymore.
If they could have made it longer, Val, they would have.
They would have.
It went right to the bitter end before we had no resolution. Like, would you have felt better with a loss? Does a loss actually feel better? Like, good. We deserve to lose.
No, I don't. That game just leaves you feeling like you don't know what to do with the rest of your day. Like, for the rest of the day, I was just walking around with my hands up in the air. Like, what was that? And what do I do now with that?
Right. That's, you know, one of those things where you can be forgiven for just walking around talking to yourself in public, mumbling.
Like, if you see a guy 10 years from now mumbling to himself somewhere downtown, it might be because of this game.
PTSD from watching the Steelers tie the Lions on a rainy afternoon in Pittsburgh. Terrible weather, just gross. Soaking wet, snow, rain mix.
I came across a movie the other day. I don't even remember what it was, but this guy was talking to his grandma, and it was like he was imagining this, and she's just banging a frying pan against her head. I'm like, that's what I imagine people doing after that game yesterday.
It felt like that watching the game yesterday. That was four quarters in an overtime of having a pan rattle off of your cranium.
Bong, bong.
Mason Rudolph.
Heel to the balls.
Yes.
Yes. He boss rootened us a couple of times yesterday.
Dang.
Steelers tie. And now they got the Chargers. Will Ben Roethlisberger be back? I don't know. He's in the COVID protocol. Ben doing the right thing. He had symptoms, so he said, hey, I got to get tested. He goes down to the facility. I might have gone somewhere else to get tested.
But
I guess it's pretty safe down there. Yeah, I know. I'm just kidding. Like, I'm going to go into work and say hi to everybody. How you doing, Ben? I think I have COVID. Did you get to, I don't know.
I know the media has to get tested every week. Do the players get tested daily or weekly?
I'm not sure how often they get tested. I know it's fairly regularly. Yeah. So, he did the right thing. He's symptomatic, and hopefully he's on the mend, and hopefully he can keep his kids from getting it. Bill's in the protocol today, so he's doing the show from home. I've been out with a concussion and that I have re-aggravated several times. Turns out...
You're in the protocol.
When you get a concussion, you're supposed to not do a lot of things.
Huh.
Crazy.
And you didn't follow that advice.
What?
I know it doesn't sound like me, Val.
Did you at least back out of the pogo stick competition you were supposed to enter this weekend?
Well, yeah, mountain biking was definitely not a smart thing.
You didn't box this weekend, did you?
No. I just know when I was on the air on Wednesday, we started doing an 8 o'clock break, and I could not think straight. And I was like, "And Bill, you were out, and I just couldn't even talk." I'm like, "I have to go." I had a doctor appointment for my concussion already, but it had gotten really bad. So I'm going to sound even more moronic than usual while sitting in my dark corner of this studio.
Can we get we could turn the lights down a little.
Can you call Mason to see if he can finish the show for me today, Joe?
No, please, Randy, come on. Struggle through it.
He's going to do 50 bits.
I don't want to see him do 50.
He's like, okay, here's my character, mullet chin. Look, he was a number two quarterback going into this for a reason. He played like a backup should. He had them in position to win the game. We fumbled it away twice.
Again, if he was good enough to be a starter, he would be one somewhere.
People really hate Mason, though. I don't know.
Why is that?
You know why?
It's just because he looks smarmy.
Well, there's that. He does have like a Sidney Crosby's American dad look to him, doesn't he?
Mm-hmm.
The cartoon, I mean, with
yeah,
the shut
yeah, I get
chin.
It. I get your reference.
But I think, smarminess aside, it's because he was involved in two things that were really embarrassing for the Steelers organization. And somehow, completely wrongheadedly, Steeler fans equate that with it being his fault. The first one, of course, being the injury against Baltimore, in which he bravely stayed in there and delivered a bullet. It was a beautiful throw. People forget that about the injury. And
oh yeah,
who lit him up in that game? Who?
Earl Thomas.
So, boom. He is like, I don't know if he was out cold. It seemed like he was out cold for a second.
Oh yeah.
And they had to take his face mask off because you can't, you know, remove the helmet, I guess. And they take his face mask off and they drive the cart out there. The cart stalls. And so then poor Mason has to get spaceballed out of the stadium. He's wearing that helmet and the trainers aren't even helping him. It's like two guys from the practice squad are like helping him. And it just looks like, ah, screw him. Like they didn't even care about him. It just looked bad. There was no cart. And then, of course, the Myles Garrett incident.
Mm-hmm.
In which I think Myles Garrett, like that whole thing got turned on its head. Myles Garrett is a villain in that situation. Yep. Unfounded claims after he assaulted somebody. I mean, you should get booted from the league, and they turned him into a martyr, and they do all kinds of puff pieces on him on NFL.com. They didn't do that stuff with Ndamukong Suh, you know, several times when he was a complete, you know, animal going outside the bounds of the game. It's right. And the way that they framed it, Mason comes out looking like the bad guy in that.
Yeah, that to me was the probably the craziest and the most unfortunate part of his season was that somehow the most violent and unbelievably horrific thing that I've ever seen done on a football field.
Yeah, could have killed him.
To Mason is a racist, even though there was absolutely not 1 ounce of evidence
no.
supporting that, other than the guy claiming it.
That's right.
Who just hit somebody over the head with a football helmet.
Yeah. What's your source on this? The guy who's going to look terrible if we believe it.
Right.
Oh, okay. Must be a lot of validity to that. Anyhow, for those reasons, I think people, there's something about Mason that this town does not like. But winning,
I mean,
would change all
because
that.
Because he hasn't been good.
Sure.
Mainly, it's been, my opinion, his performance. Like, to me, yeah. he's Landry Jones 2.0. But it's just not good enough.
Boy, I forgot about Landry Jones. Yeah, I think he's a little better than Landry Jones. I do. Regardless, he had him in position to win. They couldn't do it yesterday. I'm blaming the coaches on this one. 50 throws, awful. Mistakes at the wrong time. But let's not forget injuries along the way, too. Offensive line got decimated. And then TJ Watt going out a week after they let go of Melvin Ingram. Oh, let's hope this is not a long-term one. Val's got a quick news update for you. We'll have Jerry Dulac coming up. Stan Saverin with a power hour of Steeler talk for you on the way as well. Val, what's going on?
Here's a Channel 11 Severe Weather Center for
Severe Weather Center 11.
34 degrees at DVE. The news is brought to us by Keystone Basement Systems. A 9-year-old boy is now the 10th person to die from that Astroworld concert tragedy in Texas. He was on life support until yesterday after falling off his father's shoulders and getting trampled. His father says they were in the back of the crowd but still got caught in the chaos as fans rushed the stage when rapper and organizer Travis Scott came out. 8 people were killed that night, and a 9th victim, a college student, died last week. Officials are continuing to record and report statistics during the pandemic. Yesterday, public health officials reporting 533 new COVID cases in Allegheny County. In Westmoreland County, 148. The Pennsylvania Department of Health showing 4,752 new cases and 42 new deaths. Pennsylvania now 7th most among the 50 states in the number of cases of COVID-19 since the pandemic began. It follows California, Texas, Florida, New York, Illinois, and Georgia. Keystone State has now accumulated 1,619,000 total cases since March of 2020. Pennsylvania also has the 4th most cases over the last week, according to data from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. We're behind California, Michigan, and New York. Allegheny Health Network now distributing the pediatric COVID-19 vaccine after opening the first of three clinics for children over the weekend. Allegheny Health Network officials say local kids got the first COVID-19 vaccine shots at their first clinic for children with more than 300 in attendance. You can find a full list of vaccination clinics from Allegheny Health Network and schedule an appointment online at ahn.org. And if you have kids in the car or the kitchen, you may want to turn this down for a minute. It's a Santa story. Jolly old Saint Nick may
DUI.
Not.
No.
Whoa,
oh.
Not that. No. May not make it to your town this year. America still recovering from the COVID-19 pandemic. And last year, Santas throughout the country lost their gigs as it was the first season of the pandemic. This year, there is a demand to go back to the traditional visits with Santa, but stand-in Santas are hard to come by. The founder of HireSanta.com telling USA Today that demand is up over 120% from pre-pandemic levels. And over the past year, some 700 Santas have passed away, 300 to 500 of them due to the pandemic, due to the coronavirus. Santas are typically older, so that puts them in the high-risk category of dealing with complications of COVID-19. That may be a major factor in why more people are not putting on the red suit and interacting with hundreds of people again this year.
You think this would be easily solved with, like, virtual Santas?
Yeah.
Though not really the same experience.
Well, you could probably have more time with them.
Right.
And it wouldn't be, like, a lot of kids freak out at Santa.
But do you have to sit on their laptop? Like, I don't understand how that would work.
What was scarier to you as a kid, the Easter Bunny or Santa? Or neither.
I don't remember being afraid of either.
Well, you had a gun with
both.
You. I mean,
both.
I was packing.
Yeah. Both?
Both, because of the crowds. I mean, you know, you're in that long line, so, you know, you're kind of not paying attention as a kid. You're fumbling around with things in your pocket. You're asking your parents for stuff, and then all of a sudden it's your turn. Now you're center stage and this creepy thing is calling you towards it.
Like, I have to find the picture on my Facebook page of me whispering in Santa's ear when I was a little girl. It's very cute.
Oh,
just, you know, innocence. What'd she say?
Yeah. I'll kill you if I don't get what I want.
I don't think I ever went to a mall Santa. My parents, you know, we had 60 first cousins growing up.
My gosh.
And what they did was they had have a big party, and like there was like one of those little church annex things you can rent out, and they would have a big party, and one of their friends would come dressed as Santa.
Yeah, I think mine, the picture that I'm talking about was at my dad's work. So they had like an office Christmas party.
Oh, that's kind of a nice way to do it too. The mall, is just there's just a lot of pressure. There's the sight, the sounds. Yeah, it could be overwhelming for a kid.
Randy, your pal Kenny G.
Oh. How's Kenneth?
Only washes his hair once every 3 weeks.
Yeah, and you know, he told me that's the way to do it, because when you got the long, lovely locks that Kenny G has,
it's a lot of work.
Can't overwash.
Yeah, he says it doesn't get dirty. I'm a clean guy. He uses Pantene shampoo and conditioner.
Oh,
so just, you know.
Love me some Pantene. Well, now I know what to get for his stocking stuffer this year.
And mop curl defining cream. He says, quote, unfortunately, I don't have any endorsements, so I don't gain anything by using them other than they're the right thing for me. He has a documentary called Listening to Kenny G. Were you interviewed for that, Randy?
Yes, I produced it.
It's coming out on HBO December 2nd, and a new album called New Standards on December 3rd. He's got to have a Christmas record, right?
The biggest selling Christmas record of all time.
Really?
Yeah. Like, well, it might be surpassed now. I think maybe Bublé or somebody might have gone past him. But at one point, he had the biggest selling Christmas record. He does it all. He's a wunderkind. I don't understand why we don't celebrate Kenny G, the greatest American.
Well, you should get him on.
Songmaker.
You should get him on the show.
Yeah, we need him on this year's Christmas show. I miss him.
John Philip Snooza. It is good going to sleep music.
Forecast today, except some snow.
He sounds like he's falling asleep when he's playing half the time.
What does he play? It's not a clarinet or an oboe, right?
Soprano sax.
Okay. Flurries today, 40 for the high. It's 35 at DVE.
Rudolph under center, fake, rolls it right on the boot, pumps. Now he cuts it back, he reverses field. He's got open field to the left. He's at the 30, the 35, the 40, the 45, the 50, and he runs out of bounds voluntarily at the 43 of the Lions. He looked like a scat back on that play.
Yeah, well, you know, great heads-up play from Mason there. Maybe that'll allow the coaches to think that they can utilize him more in the running game if he has to play more. As the Steelers now head to Los Angeles to take on the Chargers Sunday night football.
Oh, no.
Was that the last
night game? No.
Sunday night football. Will it be Mason? Will it be Ben? Will it be as bad as what we had to endure yesterday? Yesterday's game was so bad, the XFL should have run commercials during that.
Guys, we can't be worse than this. The XFL, come on over.
Just a brutal and abysmal display of football from both teams. It ends in a tie, and we all deserved that. A crazy weekend again in the NFL, starting with the Ravens losing Thursday night. And the Browns? Holy cow. I mean,
Patriots are back.
That might be more about the Patriots than the Browns. The Patriots have another Tom Brady. Michael, have your sports when we come back. Jerry Dulac from the Post-Gazette on the way. And Stan Saverin with the Power Hour of Steeler Talk. So much went wrong. 2020 hindsight, to be sure. But it just seems like they approached so many things the wrong way yesterday. Why are we throwing the ball 50 times in the rain with your backup quarterback? For the love of Mike Sports, when we return here on the DVE.
Available at Walgreens.
DVE Sports.
Okay, Mike Pursuit is here now with your sports on the DVE Morning Show.
Sports is brought to you by Kia. I'm not here to absolve the Steelers defense. In the wake of that 16-16 tie with the Lions.
Do you come to praise?
But if you're looking at what needs to be fixed first and foremost, the defense is not at the top of that list. Now let's start first with Mike Tomlin. Speaking with Bob Labriola on the Steelers Radio Network pregame show, Labs does a one-on-one interview every week with Tomlin. And one of the questions this week was, are you getting what you need from your inside linebackers? The answer was this. Ask me that in 3 months. You know what I mean? We need more. We need more from those guys. But we need more from everyone. I don't know how I can appropriately answer that question. I get what you mean, but no, we absolutely want more. So he's not absolving Devin Bush and Joe Schobert either. Then the Lions go out and rush for 229 yards, a couple of just up the gut,
oof,
through the heart of the defense, runs into the end zone from distance. And this in a game where Schobert had acknowledged in advance of kickoff that, hey, the way Detroit runs its offense, this is an inside linebackers game. They throw to the running backs and tight ends. They run the ball. So, yeah, those guys failed. The holding penalty on Devin Bush in overtime that negated the interception by Minka Fitzpatrick at the Lions 40. He's here to cover guys like T.J. Hockenson. It's okay to get beat if there's help behind you. You can't hold. Yeah. That's awful.
Can't.
Okay? All of that stuff is bad. But all of that said, the Lions came in averaging 321.1 yards per game of total offense. They got 306. They came in averaging 16.8 points per game. They got 16. The defense was representative. Now, the 229 rushing yards, ugly, right? But it goes back to the people get killed by guns in this country, Archie.
Yeah.
Would you prefer it if they jumped out of windows, little girl?
Right.
I mean, the numbers averaged out at the end.
Yeah.
The Steelers couldn't get 17 points in a game against a winless team at home.
I think the issue that people have is not that the defense wasn't up to par. It's that we expect them to be exceptional and win a game like that for them when we need them to make a big play. They have not come up with the turnovers this year. They haven't had the defensive scores like we've seen in the past they're capable of doing. In a game like that is when you needed them to step up, because the offense was missing a couple guys on the offensive line after a little bit of time. Mason Rudolph, inexplicably, the coaches decided the best course of action was to have him air it out the whole day. I don't understand that still, with no Chase Claypool, no Juju for some time now, and Ray Ray out there getting the most targets from Mason on a rainy day. None of that made sense to me. You have Najee Harris for this exact reason. Run the ball. So I blame the coaches yesterday for that one.
They are first and foremost
the reason why. And if anybody's mad at the defense, it's because we herald them as being this great Steeler defense with the highest paid defensive player in the league. And, you know, Minka, who we traded a boatload for, and all these guys we expect to make plays to pull us through situations like this, and they couldn't do it against the Lions.
They didn't get the turnover, but they, once it became 16-10 very early in the third quarter, they got stops, they got sacks, they got field position.
Cam Hayward was a beast.
And they lost Joe Hayden early in the game. They lost T.J. Watt in the third quarter.
And James Pierre did great, and Trey Norwood is really coming up. There's no doubt. But when Devin Bush and Joe Schobert are a big hole behind no Tyson Alualu in front of them right now and no Stephon Tuitt, there's just too much Swiss cheese there.
I mean, the turnover that didn't count, the Fitzpatrick pick might have won it. But then there were other chances after that, and those weren't converted either.
Oh, Cam Sutton dropped an interception. I mean, dropped one.
Rudolph found out Saturday he was going to be playing, and Mike Tomlin said late Sunday that Mason Rudolph played as advertised.
He did what we expected him to do. He gave us a chance to win. But that's not the first opportunity for him, man. This guy's been at it a while, and so we expected him to play well, and we thought he gave us a chance to win.
Yeah, you know, numbers aside, he ended up 30-50 for 242, one touchdown, one pick. It looked like a guy who was a tick slow and not as accurate as he needed to be. And the times they did throw down the field, he was finding the one-on-one matchup outside. It just wasn't hitting. They hit it early in the game. They got a penalty on James Washington. He was interfered with. That helped advance that opening touchdown drive. And then they just couldn't connect for whatever reason on those shots that you have to take against single coverage and plays you have to make more often than they made them. Then there was the wide-open touchdown pass that should have been to Ray-Ray McCloud on third and goal from the five.
The glove, you know, glove kind of grabbed it a little bit there at the end, and I got to make that throw. He did a great job of getting open for us down there in the red zone, and, you know, it's one I got to make, and I don't want to make an excuse. You know, I got to make that throw.
When Najee's averaging 4 yards a carry, why aren't you running the ball first and goal?
Their explanation was it was heavy box. And you go up there and you count, and if they have more guys than you can block, then you throw it. That's their explanation. I'm not opposed to, hey, run it anyway.
Did they even have him in on that series, though?
No.
I would have to check my notes.
No, he was on the sideline. They were an empty set.
Just because they're an empty set doesn't mean he wasn't in. He was in empty sets a lot.
Right, right. I know they had him lined out wide. But I'm just saying I don't believe he was on the field.
There was another one in the fourth quarter. Third and three from the Steelers, 48. Slanted Deontay Johnson. He's open. He might run you into field goal range there. He might still be running. But that throw was misfired as well.
Yeah, that one at the end of Deontay definitely missed. It was high and hot. And so... Yeah, those are throws I got to make, despite the weather conditions. So.
Yeah, I mean, one more at the right spot. One more throw made. It's not supposed to make them all. Nobody does. But you got to make at least one more than he did, Rand.
Let's take a quick break. We'll come back. A couple other points in the game yesterday. I'm still not convinced it wasn't a safety against Jared Goff. Also, the Pens back in action with Sidney Crosby last night, but boy, if you thought the Lions game was hard to watch.
Yeah, Harris was in the game on that goal line series.
Putting
was he?
Yeah, all three downs.
putting that game on after the Steelers got decimated emotionally with a tie. That was a tough 1-2 punch for Pittsburgh sports fans yesterday. Val's got news top of the hour.
Match.com's Singles in America survey is out. I'll tell you what singles want in a partner and some other things.
Jerry Dulac, 8:45, Stan Saverin with a power hour of Steelers talk. It's Steelers Chargers Sunday Night Football this week here on DVE, so get ready for that. Also, your Bud Light Game Day Bar of the Week, the Borough, downtown Punxsutawney. Enjoy three... Punxsutawney. Jesus.
Whoa.
We're really... The signal is...
Beer with Phil.
Signal's reaching far out there.
If you see the thing, you get to drink for six more hours.
$3 Bud Light drafts during all Steeler games. Bud Light for the casts.
He gets the snap. He's back. He waits. He wants to launch one. He's hit. He's sacked. Back near the goal line. That is unbelievable for Pittsburgh, and Cam Hayward was all over the quarterback.
He sure was. Why wasn't it a safety? I get forward progress and whatnot. He did not give himself up. I mean, he's still fiddling with the ball and kind of deciding what he's doing until his one foot was in the end zone.
It's a question for Gene.
Oh, I've got questions for Gene. So many.
A lot.
Well, it was a bit of officiating karma for the Steelers after being given a gift on Monday night against the Bears.
Yeah.
Because the Steelers
were. I tweeted out complaining about how horrible the calls were, and somebody tweeted back at me, I didn't hear you whining last week. I'm like, yeah, dumb Ditka, because the calls went the Steelers' way. Do you not understand how being a fan works?
By the way, very nice to see Casey Hampton pregame with the terrible towel twirl, which
that was awesome.
He's probably still receiving oxygen for it right now. I mean, I love Casey so much. I really do think we should have had a parade for him when he retired. He just kind of slinked out of the Steelers organization. We didn't make a big deal out of it. And
very unceremonious.
It's kind of his nature, but he was such a badass for so long, man. Love Casey.
I agree.
Clinton Clegg with a killer rendition.
I see him play in the second half.
Yeah. Suit him up. Clinton Clegg with a killer national anthem rendition yesterday, pregame. Very wet. Val, you were at the pregame ceremony. You were at the tailgate.
I was at the tailgate at Stage AE, filling in for Bill. The weather there was perfect.
Inside?
No, it was outside.
Oh.
But it wasn't raining yet or snowing.
Yeah.
It was just cloudy and cold and football weather.
Yeah. And I mean, look, a little bit of rain in Pittsburgh in November on a Sunday afternoon, that's to be expected. It really did look like an old 70s matchup at Three River Stadium there.
Mm-hmm.
The Lions came in winless. And they still don't have a win, but they've got a tie under their belt right now. Now, how do you feel about the Steelers season? Has this changed everything for you? Because I got to tell you, for me, it has not.
The Super Bowl is off. Yeah.
Look at what is happening. The Dolphins beat the Ravens. The Browns got decimated and lost Baker Mayfield yesterday. Who knows how long that's going to keep him out for. TJ Watt, although... conversely, injured for the Steelers. Don't know much about that one yet. Devastating to lose him for any amount of time, given that they don't have Melvin Ingram any longer.
Have they said when we'll find out about TJ?
I'm guessing this afternoon. But I'm terribly nervous to hear about that. But look, the Steelers are still not in a terrible position. They just have to win some games that we were previously thinking, if they lose that one, no big deal. Well, now you got to win a couple of those, starting with the Chargers. Yeah, Sunday night.
Didn't you feel like yesterday, it doesn't matter, like all the logic gets thrown out the window. When you tie the Lions, you go, all right, well, this season's over. Well, at least, like I talked to my dad afterwards, and he was like, well, at least now I can get some stuff done around the house on Sundays. Like everybody's trying to protect themselves from any further hurt because that hurt yesterday.
I was really angry. I was just super angry watching that game.
Yeah.
It didn't need to come to this. And I felt like the coaches completely screwed up. They abandoned what would have worked, which was very conservative. Run the ball. Punting's not a big deal. Pound them. Set up play action. Throw it to your tight ends. Exactly. Instead, Mason throwing it 50 times yesterday. The defense, look, I know that they kept them within the parameters of their weekly average, according to Mike, but that's not what you needed from them yesterday. You needed them to shut down a bad football team so that they didn't even approach their week-in, week-out average. The tackling is abysmal. Joe Schobert flying off the runners yesterday. Devin Bush this season, my Lord.
Ooh, it was a rough one for Devin.
Devin yesterday. Is, I mean, can he come back from this? Is there any way for him to come back, make some big plays? You got to hope so if you're a Steeler fan, because there's no other answer right now. Hopefully Joe Hayden's injury, nothing too serious.
Although he's got a foot, right?
Was it a foot?
Mm-hmm. Foot injury?
Yeah.
James Pierre instead, pretty good yesterday. Trey Norwood making good. Some plays. So there's hope. There's hope here. I mean, would it surprise you if the Steelers got Ben back and went in and beat the hell out of the Chargers? Anything's possible in this NFL is what I'm trying to say. The Broncos destroyed the Cowboys last week. There is a ton
of... The Redskins. The Washington Football Club beat Tom Brady and the Buccaneers yesterday with Heineke.
Yes, exactly. So fret not, Steeler fans. As annoying as it was to have to sit through that sad excuse for an NFL football game yesterday, plenty of hope on the horizon for the Steelers, thanks in large part to a loss by the Ravens and the Browns this weekend. The tie, although like I said earlier, it does kind of have it's like the equivalent in the standings of a missed extra point. You just know it's going to come back and haunt you at some point. You just know it.
It's a dingleberry on the stat sheet.
It is.
On the scorecard, on the record book. What is that?
It's a brand new outfit, but your fly is open. It's an Alanis Morissette song. Val has your news coming up top of the hour. What are you going to be talking about?
Match.com's Singles in America survey. The results have been released. So I'm going to tell you what everybody thinks about being single.
Jerry Dulac, Stan Saverin still to come. And good news on the gambling front. We got a big NFL Monday night matchup between the Rams and the 49ers. FanDuel Sportsbook, in partnership with Valley Forge, is about to make it even bigger because FanDuel is giving new customers 30-1 odds on either team to win. That means you can win $150 on a $5 bet. I'm going with the Rams on this one. OBJ going to play, I heard.
Mm-hmm.
I like it. Build the same game parlay.
And he's
going
to be open, according to his dad. He's going to be wide open.
I'm going Aaron Donald over on sacks at a Cooper Cup anytime TD. And then I'm going to play the Rams on the money line also for a nice same game parlay. FanDuel is America's number one rated sportsbook app. Safe and secure. It's easy to use. You get paid in as little as 2 hours when you win. And if you're already a FanDuel sportsbook user, FanDuel is hooking all customers up with $50 when you refer a friend. Plus, your friend will get $50 too. Just invite them using your exclusive referral link, which can be easily found when you tap the refer icon. See for yourself why FanDuel is America's number one sportsbook. Sign up with promo code Randy before the Rams take on the 49ers. You could win $150 on a $5 bet. Remember, promo code Randy so they know I sent you. Got to be 21 or older, present in Pennsylvania. New users only, $10 first deposit required. Must wager in designated offer market. Max bonus, $150. Restrictions apply. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-Pittsburgh. What was scarier to you as a kid, the Easter Bunny or Santa? Or neither.
I don't remember being afraid of either.
Well, you had a gun with
both.
You. I mean,
both.
I was packing.
Yeah. Both?
Both, because of the crowds. I mean, you know, you're in that long line, so, you know, you're kind of not paying attention as a kid. You're fumbling around with things in your pocket. You're asking your parents for stuff, and then all of a sudden it's your turn. Now you're center stage, and this creepy thing is calling you towards it.
I have to find the picture on my Facebook page of me whispering in Santa's ear when I was a little girl. It's very cute.
Aww.
Just, you know, innocence. What'd she say?
I'll kill you if I don't get what I want.
Randy Bellman and the DVE Morning Show.
In the shotgun, Rudolph takes the snap, throws the out. It's pulled in by Freiermuth. And the ball is out, and they dive for it. And I think the Lions have fallen on it. Yep, it is Deshaun Hand who ended up with the football on Freiermuth's mistake. 8 seconds to go.
Jesus. What a perfect way for that crap show to end yesterday.
I love you said chef's kiss.
Yeah, just, I almost swore just there.
The ball just died right on the side. I didn't go out of bounds. I mean, it was perfect.
No, it was like the punt in the Jeff Reed game on Monday night that's stuck in the ground. Yeah. Just against a lot Miami. Of wire. How about this? Yeah. Najee didn't know you could tie. He's like, I had no idea. I thought we're going to have to. They're like, no, dude, it's over. Same thing for the guy on the other side, Godwin Igwebuke. He said people on their sidelines were like, I think we get two of these. No, we get three. Like, nobody even knew the rules. Well, just pathetic.
That happens. That happens every time there's a tie in the NFL. There's several players on each team that are like, this can happen?
Consider what the final 10 minutes were like.
Oh.
It was not just like a couple of bad. It was Three Stooges. It was complete just embarrassment for both teams from start to finish.
Benny Hill music should have been playing the whole overtime.
Mason hits Deontay. Deontay fumbles. This is after the Lions go three and out, basically. Yep. And then Jared Goff, next play, throws an interception. Minka, you think, all right, we got it. Nope. Penalty. Devin Bush negates the interception. So then the Lions are in field goal range. And they bring out a kicker who they just signed because the old guy was on injured. Austin Siebert's on injured reserve. Bring in Ryan Santoso. Say it to me, Santoso. Short, wide. And I'm just talking about the kicker. His kick was bad, too. And then the Steelers get the ball back. And you're thinking, okay, now they'll get their bleep together. 53 had been snapping it high the whole game, so he decided to cap it off with an ode to his idol, Marquise Pouncey, and throw it over 8-foot-tall Mason Rudolph's head. Najee runs back and gets this one. At least it didn't end the way the Browns fumble did that, you know, in that playoff game where James Conner and Ben Roethlisberger looked at each other and said, are you going to get it? I don't know. Are you going to get it? I don't know. Let's Rochambeau.
That was the smartest,
1, 2, 3, paper.
Smartest play Mason made all day was deferring to Najee like, oh, you should probably be the one to recover this.
All right, so then we have to punt it away again, and our huge punter punts the ball. Lions do nothing with that possession because they're crap. They are garbage. They can't do anything. So we get the ball back, 1 minute, 37 seconds remaining. We cross midfield. First down, Detroit's 39. We throw it to Freiermuth there for 1 yard. Why are we even throwing the ball for 1 yard when time is precious? You've got a 56-yard field goal attempt from Boz there, which is a bomb. At Heinz Field, you know, that's like hitting a 64-yard field goal anywhere else. But Boz has shown himself the guy who can do it. If you're going to do anything to get him in better position there, why are you throwing it 1 yard? Freiermuth tries to get out of bounds. There's two guys between him. He fumbles the ball in the effort. The game is over. A complete disaster. Boom, 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 an embarrassment boom. For everyone. Just
that whole game, Rick Seaback should have come on and just been like, no,
no.
What do you think you know what's going to happen? What do you think is going to happen?
I think it's going to be.
They're both going to make a lot of mistakes, but the Steelers are going to win. No.
Didn't you think that, though? Didn't you think ultimately we'll end up winning this game and we'll be a little bit embarrassed by it? And that's about it.
Yes.
That's not how it went. Steelers end up with a tie. So we have that thing dangling off our record all year. The Dingleberry of standings, as you called it.
It's just, it lingers the whole year. Every time the Steelers and Lions logos come up on a morning show or Sports Center or anything, I cringe because that's the last thing you want as a fan, is to be a laughingstock, to be an embarrassment, to put on tape a blooper reel where you could just fill the whole thing with just the plays from yesterday.
You're right. The whole year, you're going to look at the Steelers record every time they show it, and you're going to have to relive that really embarrassing Sunday afternoon. This one's on the coaches more than anybody. I know that we didn't tackle the way we should have, and that offense didn't execute. I just do not understand why they threw the ball 50 times with Mason Rudolph, who had 12 hours to prepare. And now, the bigger question. Do you think the Steelers were counting on Mason Rudolph to be the guy next year? Do you think they thought, we're fine, he'll get us through a year or so? And if so, do you think they were feeling encouraged by what they saw on the field yesterday? He's a number two quarterback. He's a backup quarterback. That he looked like how backups look in the NFL.
Sure.
The problem is everyone else around him looked like backups too.
Well, yeah, even the good players were making mistakes yesterday. But I think the only thing, his saving grace might be the weather and the big-time mistakes that the other players made. Deontay and Pat Freiermuth cannot fumble in those situations.
You're right. Totally. And, you know, to your point, he did what he was supposed to do there. He had them in position to win at the end of the game. He did.
Twice.
Yeah. It just, you know, if Ben Roethlisberger was in there, it was going to be a blowout. A blowout.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Is their coach the eat your kneecaps guy?
That's right.
Yes.
Dan Campbell. He said he was, his quote about the tie.
This is hilarious.
I'm in this twilight zone. I don't even know what this is, really. I'm sure I've been in a tie before as a player. For some reason, I can't remember.
This was a shin biter yesterday. He didn't even make it all the way up to the kneecaps.
Ties suck, saith Cam Hayward. I know it's a tie, but if it's not a win, I don't think you can hang your hat on that. That's right. You got to keep wearing your hat. Fouls news right now. We'll talk with Jerry Dulac, 8:45. We'll have the bottom five plays of the game because we couldn't justify putting together a top five plays for this game.
No. No, that game didn't deserve that.
What do you got?
12 minutes after 8 at DVE, here's a Channel 11 Severe Weather
Center. Severe Weather Center 11.
35 degrees now at DVE. I'm Val Porter. Lawyers for the accused Tree of Life synagogue shooting suspect are asking for more time to present a mental health defense. The legal team for Robert Bauer says they don't intend to seek an insanity or intellectual disability defense. However, they want the November 15th deadline, which is today, to be pushed back so they can have experts perform a mental health evaluation. Federal prosecutors are asking the judge to deny the extension. They say the case has already faced a series of delays over the last 3 years since the October 2018 shooting. Another payment for the child tax credit is hitting bank accounts today. It's for November with the final advance payment set for next month. But not all families have signed up and the clock is ticking. You have until midnight to register. The IRS says those who make the deadline may just get all the money they're owed this year in one lump sum. That means a family with two kids could get up to $3,600 just before Christmas. A new poll shows President Biden's job approval rating is at a record low. The Washington Post ABC News survey revealed President's popularity rating has dropped to 41%. The poll found his support is slipping most among Democrats and independents. Pollsters say the trend is likely a result of economic hardships affecting many Americans amid rising costs and soaring inflation. One bright spot for the White House, the poll showed a majority of Americans support the bipartisan infrastructure package, which President Biden is getting ready to sign soon.
You know, do you watch the 60 Minutes special last night about the all of the supply chain issues? It is just kind of depressing to think about the enormity of this issue and how we are so ill-equipped to deal with it. So they said that we put $17 billion in the in that infrastructure package for all of these ports to, like, redo them. And Singapore just put $34 billion in theirs. And the problem is all of that money gets allocated to local municipalities because that's who controls all the ports. It's wherever there's a port, that's who controls it. It's not federally controlled. It's not like an airport or something. So,
right.
Or maybe that's not a bad analogy. But so the guy they put in charge of allocating the $17 billion, which by all accounts is not enough money to make these things, you know, run a lot more smoothly as compared with the rest of the world, Mitch Landrieu. The guy who screwed up all of the Hurricane Katrina things down in New Orleans.
Oh, good.
Like all of the money that they got, they gave to New Orleans after he completely mismanaged it. So,
guys, like I got choice. Platinum docks. I apologize. I kind of spent a lot of the money on that.
Well, I went to a store last week and like a local like shop, and I was gonna buy. They had this cool chair. I wanted to buy this chair. And I couldn't end up getting it. And the woman's like, I can't get another one because the supply chain things. Like, it's just ridiculous. All the issues and the prices are through the roof. And she goes, you know what they're doing? They're trying to tank the economy. And I was like, who?
And why?
Yeah. Who's trying to take? Who are they? Let's find those people. Who would purposely try to tank the economy? They're trying to tank the economy. So I mean, great sympathy right now for anybody who is affected by the supply chain because it just seems like this is a problem that is huge.
Yes.
And we are not quite equipped to handle it right now.
Researchers finding high-frequency sounds and common noises like vacuums, microwaves, even smoke detector battery warnings can trigger anxiety in dogs. And if you're a dog owner, you already know that. The study conducted by UC Davis with almost 400 dog owners also finds humans tend to underestimate their pet's fearfulness and respond with amusement rather than concern. Lead author Emma Grigg says dogs use body language more than vocalizing, making it difficult for some owners to understand their pet. Common signs of anxiety include cringing, trembling, and retreating, while less common signs include dogs licking their lips or turning their head away. Grigg says it's important to know what causes dogs' anxiety and minimize the exposure.
If my dog has anxiety, he jumps onto my lap and puts his head under my chin, and he's like 65 pounds. He's like, I'm just going to hang out here.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Yeah.
That is a lot. That's very close to what I would do when I got nervous when I first started on the show.
Yeah. I thought it was weird.
Jump in Randy's lap. Yeah,
jump in my lap.
It's weird. So how long does it take you before you're sick of Thanksgiving leftovers? 3 days, 4 days, how about 20 years? That's how long Jane Winteringham of Bristol, England, has been eating a Christmas dinner. That's the British answer to our Thanksgiving feast. Bless you.
Thank you.
Every single day for 20 years. She makes roast beef with roasted potatoes, carrots, and Brussels sprouts every evening, except when she goes to her local pub where she orders the exact same thing. The 66-year-old estimates she eats 1,460 roast potatoes, 1,095 carrots, 5,475 Brussels sprouts every year. And she credits her consistent diet with helping her maintain her size 10 figure all these years.
Is size 10 good? I
think that's average.
It's like average. The Brussels sprouts are the key component there. You really need those scouring pads.
I think I could probably eat. I don't know if I could eat Thanksgiving dinner every day for 20 years, but I could eat it a lot.
It was my dad's all-time
it's
favorite.
It's pretty good.
My dad made it all the time. Once he learned how to make it, he would make it like once a month.
Yeah.
That's a lot for me.
No. I had a gobblerito last week, but I had leftovers.
So you froze it?
No, I ate it. And I could go for another one already.
Mad Max, I'm just saying, you guys should give us some gift certificates or something. I mean, for God's sake, we have done more for the Gobblerito.
But yeah, I could eat that every day for a while, I think. Turkey dinner.
Every time I talk to somebody about the Gobblerito, I say, what is it for you? What's the key? And every time they say the same thing.
Gravy.
It's a gravy. That gravy is so good in those things.
Because it tastes homemade.
It is, yeah.
It's not that saucy stuff.
I couldn't. I don't know if I could do Thanksgiving dinners through the entire summer. It's just, it's a heavy meal. It's a hearty meal.
Yeah, you're right about that.
Well, I wouldn't stuff a turkey and do all that, but, you know, you put a turkey breast on and make some stuffing, you know, if you go low-key with it.
I've eaten just stuffing for dinner. Like, just buy a package of stuffing and eat it. It's so good.
This stuffing's doing fine all by itself, yeah. Clark.
What'd you say?
You're eating mushy toast for breakfast, yeah, for dinner.
For dinner. Uh-huh.
You put gravy on it? Or you...
No. Nope. Just eat it plain.
Oh, you eat it dry.
That's how you did it?
Not dry. I cook it, Bill.
That's how you did it on the prairie back in the day.
Yeah, no. Because, you know why? Because you buy the survival jar gravy, it's food. Just not as good. So I'd just rather eat it dry.
You know, if our just bosses ever, like, put a consultant on our show and they make them listen to it for 2 weeks, they're going to come back and be like, these guys talk an awful lot about food and mostly Thanksgiving food.
Yeah.
Well, it's like Thanksgiving. They're like, no. We have air checks from March. They were talking about it.
All right, so I'm going to save the Match.com story because it's really long. There's a lot of info in it.
All right, yeah, save it till 9.
Yeah. Will we have stand on then?
Oh, gee. Well,
that's all right. I'll do it tomorrow.
Do it now.
Okay. Will we want to run late?
Do it live.
Dude, I don't care. I have a concussion. We'll blame it on that.
Match.com's new Singles in America survey is out. The pandemic has changed some things. One of the biggest findings, emotional connection more important to singles than physical attractiveness. I touched on this a little bit in the 6 o'clock hour, but more details here. 5,000 people between the ages of 18 and 100 were surveyed. What are singles?
100?
Hey, there's some 100-year-olds on the prowl.
100-year-old single person maybe might have drastically different ideas about relationships.
You are true.
Than somebody who's 18. Yes.
Can chew own food.
Can you drive at night?
84% want someone they can trust and confide in. 84% want someone they can communicate their wants and needs to. 84% want someone to make them laugh. 83% want someone open-minded and accepting of differences. 83% want someone emotionally mature. 82% want someone comfortable with their sexuality. 80% want someone who has a life of their own. 79% want someone confident and self-assured. 78% want someone physically attractive, which is different to everybody.
Yeah, I just, women are better at being physically attracted to somebody because of other, like, they can grow into it because they like the person.
Yes.
And guys are very superficial.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And you don't have to be close to be intimate. 50% of young singles open to having a long distance relationship. That's about 20% more than singles overall. So long distance, less appealing for older people.
Well, right. Yeah.
Hookup culture has taken a big hit. Only 11% of singles want to date casually. 62% say they're more interested in finding a meaningful, committed relationship. And believe it or not, men are more ready to find long-term romantic relationships than women. 42% versus 29%. 81%.
Long distance is a young man's game, honestly.
Like, I did
that's
it.
Why older people, yeah. Older people are like, I don't want to travel through a tunnel to see somebody.
I did it for so long. It is the worst. And here's the thing about it. You get fooled because so much of your time together is a celebration because, like, hey, we're together. So everything's a vacation.
Did you think it was the worst at the time or now looking back, you think, oh, that was awful?
No, at the time, it's always a vacation. Like, the first 2 years, you're just like, it's so fun. But then, like, you know, you're getting tired of it after a year and a half. Like, all right, we got to figure something out here. And then when you start to not figure things out, those vacations seem less and less vacation-like and more arduous every time. And then it's like a game of chicken. Like, who's going to break? You coming here? Am I going there? Like, okay, well, here's my situation. All right, here's my situation. And then you have to weigh who is more affected by extricating themselves from their situation. It was a nightmare.
Oh, yeah, that's a mess. Oh, I was going to say the other scenario is that you have this nice relationship that's long distance. Like, I was long distance with somebody in college. And then what happened was we were home at the same time for the entire summer. And after like 3 weeks, I was like, oh, like we can't stand each other. This is weird.
Yeah, definitely. But when getting back to the dynamic in relationships, what people are looking for, I think the best thing is when there's some, you don't want to date somebody who's exactly like you.
Never
works out. You want to date somebody who is like not polar opposite, but gives you good balance, but can laugh at the differences instead of seeing them as deal breakers.
Yeah.
Because
I would say not necessarily laugh at them, but accept them. Accept the differences.
Yeah.
Yeah, because some of those differences ain't funny.
Do you have a for instance here?
No.
Sounded very specific.
Like, very forceful.
Yeah.
No, but I'm saying, like, you know, if you're being realistic about it, usually you attract somebody into your life who represents some aspect of yourself that maybe isn't as strong as you'd like it to be. And so there's like a rub. In any relationship, there's some sort of bump or nudge. And it's not easy. It's hard work.
Agreed. And you want that to be easy. You're like, this is supposed to be the fun part. I don't want to work on this. I'm working on everything else.
Right. COVID, not the end of the world. 74% of singles say the pandemic has not negatively affected their dating life, but being vaccinated is the key. 65% of all singles want a dating partner to be vaccinated.
Yeah, that just seems obvious that the unvaccinated are going to gravitate towards each other.
And
vaccinated will gravitate toward each other. That's
like
one
a
I don't
vaccine social.
Yeah, I don't see those. I don't. You know, I'd put that above like religion and everything else in terms of compatibility. It's going to be vaccination status.
Except for guys, I don't know. I just feel like nothing would be a deal breaker for guys. Like, well, she's unvaccinated. Okay, well,
wear a mask.
You know what?
Yeah.
You know, maybe she got a point. Microchips and whatnot.
I'll just get a booster.
And I think I missed this one. 81% say they now find sex less important than they did pre-pandemic. More commitment focused now. So, Wendy with flurries, 40 for the high today. It's 35 at DVE.
All right. We've got Jerry Dulac coming up. Mike Pursuta with a post-game reaction from the locker room yesterday. Still waiting on the status of TJ Watt, Joe Hayden injuries, hoping to get updated there. Don't forget, it's Steelers-Chargers this Sunday night. We're going to be up late again, Val.
Is that the last one?
Look, if there is one redeeming quality of yesterday's game, Bill, we didn't have to stay up late to watch it. Could you imagine if it was like 12:15 and we were watching Freiermuth burp it up to end the game?
No, I can't.
Are you kidding
me? No, because I spent the rest of the entire day talking to myself, walking around, pacing in my house, just clenching my fist for no reason. I was like, I got to take a shower to wash this off. Yeah. I got to wash this off.
I mean, I'm starting to get to the point where I'm wondering if I am emotionally, I'm not handling these losses well, or I'm not handling the games well. Like, I know that when you're a fan, that is, you know, a derivation of fanatic. But there needs to be some more, you know, we can't all be the epitome of Yinzer guy screaming our faces off every game, right? There has to be some kind of, oh, well, life goes on. Moment
I would
that never seems to come, Bill. It's all Sunday night. You're like, this sucks.
I'd love to know if that guy has money on the games.
I don't think so. I think that's just civic pride, man. Yeah. That's so Pittsburgh. And that's what makes Steeler Nation great, is that kind of passion. And at some point you think, like, am I getting too old to have this kind of reaction to the games? Shouldn't I be a little more centered than throwing things around my room, screaming at the television?
That's why I don't watch the games with anybody. I actually had to remove myself, and I don't record because I say things way worse than that guy is saying. Like, he's basically just swearing. All the things he's saying are true.
Yeah, he's hilarious.
It's just he's just frustrated. But I go personal and mean, and I start saying things, and I'm like, why would I say that about somebody?
Yeah, that's when you gotta get off Twitter. Because that's when you're gonna write something and you regret, and then have to interview that guy a week later.
Oh, my drafts are filled right now.
But yeah, you know, we should have had our expectations in check. It was Mason Rudolph. It was pouring rain. No Chase Claypool. Two guys get hurt on the offensive line. I mean, it was a perfect storm.
Yeah, but they gave us the okie doke. They started the game and they scored a touchdown. They got us all excited and going, oh, maybe if he rolls out and throws it to the tight end and we run with Najee, maybe we can just blow this team. This could be a good game.
I wouldn't call what happened yesterday good or even football. It looked like you taught a bunch of people how to play football there towards the end, didn't it? Like, go out and do it now. Oh. Fumbles and turnovers and penalties galore. Mike's got your
it
sports.
It looked like the Washington Generals were playing the Washington Generals.
Was that the USFL team name? Were they the Washington Generals? Wasn't there a...
Oh, I don't know.
I think there was a DC team. I don't know. I'm in post-concussive syndrome right now. Memory's a little spotty. That's why we're super late. Here's Mike with your sports when we...
Available at Walgreens. DVE Sports.
Well, this makes me feel a little bit better. Deontay Johnson tweeted out, I'm not perfect at all, but I will play better, fesho.
What's the end of that?
Fesho?
Fesho.
Fosho?
No, fesho. F-A-S-H-O. Fesho.
Fesho.
For sure?
Yes, sir.
Wow. I'm woke.
No, you're not woke.
Sports aside.
Now he's even fumbling on the alphabet.
Sports aside brought to you by Dormont.
Well, like, faux show is a little more formal than faux show, right? Like, that's what it is. No, I mean this.
Faux show is more like party girl.
Yeah, he's partying.
Like, we're going to have a good time tonight, faux show.
Just to buckle down and show you I'm serious, I'm going to use the masculine form, faux show.
That's the new thing NFL players do now is they go to Twitter when they screw up and say, I'll be better.
Good. Look, I want him to be – I'm not giving up on Deontay Johnson. I think he needs to have better ball security, ball awareness, situational awareness, all those things. And
you think?
Couldn't be worse than it was in that instance. You could fill up a bus full of – no, it couldn't.
What's he doing? What's he thinking?
He's holding the ball out like this.
It's the equivalent of getting Malkin trying to do a one-on-two – when you're tied in the third period. You're getting very close to field goal range. Take the gain and go from there. You don't have to score from there.
After he broke the initial tackle. And this was the same thing with Ray Ray last week.
That there are people around him trying to take the ball away.
We don't need a huge play. You're not going to break through four tackles, wrap up the ball there, and get what you can. You know who's very good at that? Najee. Najee's been great at that.
Yes.
He knows when he needs to tuck the ball in, and he holds the ball really strong, too. So there was a couple times where they tried to strip it from him, and they just couldn't even get in on it. Deontay Johnson and Ray Ray both hold the ball like those electronic football players where you had to stuff the little styrofoam ball in their hand. It sticks way out.
And it was too big. It wasn't to scale, so yeah, the thing's hanging out the back like a...
Whatever.
We're a little late here, and we want to get to Jerry, but I just want to reiterate, again, not handing out gold stars to the defense, but the Lions came in averaging 321.1 yards per game, and they got 306. They came in averaging 16.8 points a game, and they got 16. I don't care that it was 229 on the ground and 77 on the pass. It still adds up to 306. They did nothing after they scored that early touchdown in the third quarter. At that point, the Steelers needed 7 points to win the game, and there was still 12 minutes and change left in the third and the fourth and in overtime, and they couldn't do it. And in terms of stuff you got to fix,
that hurt.
You got to start there. They're as upset as anybody about the running because that's a pride thing for NFL defensive players and NFL defensive coaches. It steals your soul when they run the ball on you. But the Lions didn't come in here and score 35 points. I mean, got to do better on offense. Got to be smarter. Got to plan it better. Got to execute it better.
I know they didn't have a lot of time. It wasn't like Mason Rudolph had 5 days to get ready for this game. All right, until Saturday night, he thought he was going to be the backup. Even more reason for the coaches then to be, as Mike Tomlin likes to say, light on their feet and adjust a game plan to something wickedly conservative and super boring that allowed their players to utilize their best assets. Najee averaged 4 yards a run yesterday.
Yeah. Well, and in the four-game winning streak, they had run the ball 129 times and passed it 130 times. And the extra pass was the Boswell fake field goal in Cleveland. Other than that, they had achieved balance. And they were of a mindset that even when the run wasn't working, they would stay with it and run it enough times. Just because when you run it enough times, that limits the number of times something bad can happen when you throw it. And they just totally got away from that yesterday. And that is on the coaches. And, you know, some of that's got to be on Rudolph. A lot of their offense is run-pass option. I don't know how many times.
Yeah.
He just did the, you know, he talked afterward about, well, you count the guys in the box, and if it's this many and you can't block it, you throw. Well, sometimes you got to run it anyway.
Ben Roethlisberger said that 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And he said, you know, there were times when it dictated pass, but we still went run because we wanted to pound that into their heads.
And that's just, Rudolph doesn't have the experience or the savvy or the confidence, apparently, to do that. And, you know, it's because he's not Ben.
And when he did have Deontay on that one slant, he rifled it to him.
Oh, my God. Yeah, there's several plays that, you know, the miss to McLeod, the miss on the slant to Johnson, the fumble by Johnson, the fumble by Freiermuth, and, you know, the poor design of that to begin with. There's four right off the top of your head. If you make one of those plays, you probably win the game.
Jeez, if you don't hold on the Najee touchdown, you win the game.
Got to fix the offense. It's been the issue all season.
And it seems like it's more than just Mason's fault. Matt Canada is not establishing any sort of balance when he calls a game like he did yesterday, as you pointed out. But it seems like they won against Chicago in spite of it. Like they've been really close to being as bad as the Lions this year. I was going to say, even if we won yesterday, we're 6-3. No Steeler fan would have thought we were still like, oh, we're good now.
Well, but that's the AFC this year. I mean, you know, the Ravens are 6-3, and they just lost to Miami, and they had two or three other games where, how'd they win that, you know? It's all about the result.
What happens if TJ's out for the year?
Bye-bye.
Oh.
Like just.
You mean bye bye season?
Yeah,
like that's
forget
it.
Forget it. Forget it.
Yeah, that's a wrap.
Because the thing they have going for them, which gives them a chance, is the defense's ability to rise up at any point and do something splashy that changes the game. Now, they didn't get the takeaway yesterday, but they made enough of those plays. You know, that Hayward sack in the fourth quarter that has them punting out of their end zone. You get the ball at the 48-yard line and go 3-and-out. You kidding me?
Garbage.
Yeah, that should have been the game right there. I still think it was
The Detroit 48.
I know. Oh, I'm aware.
You got to get 15 yards and kick the damn thing. Got to be better than that.
Let's talk.
Don't tell me about rushing yards when it plays out that way.
Yeah, I guess all of those complaints that everybody has about the lack of balance is not that they weren't in position to still win it at the end of the game. It's that they should have been blowing them out, and it never should have been close to begin with.
Right.
There's that, too.
When we come back, Jerry Dulac from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette.
They still stink. The Lions. They're not.
Yeah.
Oh, these guys are better than we thought. Awful. They got this player and that player. No, they're hideous.
Which makes those rushing touchdowns even more egregious. Egregious, I tell you. Egregious.
I will agree with your egregious.
And I'll raise you.
Egregious Philbin.
Egregious Igwebike had one of the touchdowns yesterday.
You know, that was that guy's fifth career carry.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
They didn't give him the ball again. They didn't.
That's how dumb they are.
or how unlikely it was that he was ever going to do anything again. They're like, oh my God, we accidentally gave it to him and he scored.
I think he probably left. He was just left the stadium, went to celebrate with his family.
He's got to be related to Donald Igwebike, right?
Doesn't got to be. Maybe that name's like Smith where he comes
from.
Yeah,
might be. Yeah, that's a good point. Jerry Dulac, when we come. Randy Bauman and the DVE Morning Show. It's your radio home of the Steelers, 102.5 DVE. Joining us now from the Post-Gazette and the Pittsburgh Steeler Radio Network pregame, sponsored by Don's Appliances this morning, it's our friend Jerry Dulac. Jerry D., good morning.
Randall, good morning. I'm still trying to see if I like this tie I got yesterday. It's rather ugly, and it doesn't go in anything.
Yes, fitting. Indeed.
I'm looking for the return slip.
Well, unfortunately, Steelers can't return their tie. They're going to have to own it. And I'm wondering which you think was the bigger issue. Execution by the team or game planning by the coaches?
Well, to me, the bigger issue was what we're seeing on defense, first of all, is just their inability to stop the run. I mean, basically, the Lions rush for twice as many yards as they have all season. That goes to execution. Look, there's play calling in every game that is always suspect, especially when it doesn't work, of course. And when you look at an instance where, they run the ball to get down to, the Lions 5 and then they call 3 straight pass plays. Yeah, I know one's an RPO, but come on. An RPO with the quarterbacks they have. RPOs with Lamar Jackson and Baker Mayfield and, guys like that are fine. But RPOs here are somewhat pointless. And as for the regular execution, again, that goes to the tackling. That goes to receivers dropping balls. That goes to high throws, high snaps, pretty much name it. They covered the gamut yesterday with some of that stuff.
Boy, it really seemed to me like throwing the ball 50 times on the offensive side of things was a little bit too much to ask from Mason Rudolph, considering he didn't have a week of prep.
I think throwing it 50 times in a game where you're running it okay is way too much. I will point up that he had 2 days of practice, which he typically doesn't because, with the short week, Ben was held out 2 days. One, of course, Wednesday's practice was like a walkthrough, and Thursday was like Wednesday, which Ben always sits out. Now, it wasn't because of COVID, just because of the way they do it with him. So he at least did have some prep. So I'm not going to hold that part and use that as an excuse with him. I didn't think he was horrible, considering the guy doesn't play much. But it certainly wasn't, how much of that was some of the play calling. Mm-hmm. If they get away down there, in the red zone, they settled for field goals twice against the Lions down in the red zone. Lions are the worst red zone defense in the league. And that they couldn't convert on both those opportunities. That's okay if you're scoring otherwise, but no big plays when they need it, no splash plays, on offense or defense. Special teams were suspect all day. They're lucky they didn't lose the game. That kid had a chance to win the game in overtime with that field goal, and they're lucky to come away with a tie.
Jerry, Rudolph got a lot of bounce out of that start against Cleveland in the JV game that ended the regular season last year. Do you look at a game such as yesterday, and if he has to play again against the Chargers, are these auditions for him for next year?
Well, Mike, the JV game against the Cleveland was a JV game for the Steelers, certainly not for the Browns, because they were desperate for a win to make the playoffs. But I think that's what we've seen with Rudolph. If you go back and look now, this is 10 starts. It's like, good one, not so good. Decent one, not so good. So I think what they need to see, if in fact, Ben does miss this game as well, and I still haven't determined what the protocol guidelines are, whether he can come back or not. I'll do that today. But, he's going to have to play better. Again, Mike, I didn't think he was horrible, but he got away with a couple. There's no question. But when you throw it 50 times, and you're a guy who doesn't play a lot, you're going to have some interceptions, as it were. I think he only had one, could have had three. But I think to a degree, he's auditioning for next year. But I think going into next year, Mike, I think with Dwayne Haskins sitting around, being around all year and practicing and them getting to work with him, or at least seeing how he develops and knowing the way they would like to play, not that, not that he's Lamar Jackson, but he's more mobile than what they have right now.
Oh, how about Crazy Legs Rudolph yesterday?
Yeah, how about that? I know, 26 and 11 yards on two scrambles.
Putting the shoulder down, running through that guy.
Oh, that could have ended his season. When he did that, I was like, oh, boy, here comes Haskins.
Hey, that guy hit him pretty hard. It's just that he took the worst of it because Rudolph went flying a couple yards with that hit. It's amazing that he didn't get hurt. But I think what's going to happen, Mike, next year is I think Dwayne Haskins is going to be given every opportunity to be that starting quarterback. And part of it is what they see with Rudolph. Look, they like Rudolph as a backup, and he is. He's solid. He's more than solid. But, we'll see what happens if they think he can be their starter. But, it's really hard to judge Mason Rudolph when he comes in and plays one game. I think you have to see a couple games in a row. Now, look, I know we saw that in 2019, and that's why Doc Hodges ended up playing. But I think it's only fair to see more than one game for him before deciding, yes, this is going to be the guy, or no, this isn't going to be the guy. But do they have a franchise quarterback in the waiting? No, they don't.
Jerry D., what's the return policy on the Melvin Ingram trade? Because if T.J. Watt is out for any considerable amount of time, I don't think anybody in Pittsburgh wants to see what life will be like if it's raining tacos or under the Tusca sun.
Well, Billy, that's why I thought when they made that trade, there's no question the defense was worse off, because the reason they brought in Melvin Ingram was for the very hole that they've created now, which is there's nobody behind those two guys. And it's not exactly like Alex Highsmith is setting the world on fire. You know, he had trouble yesterday in run defense. Yeah, I know he makes some plays. I like Alex Highsmith. Don't get me wrong. But it's nice to have a veteran guy behind him. And when you have nothing now behind those two and you get an injury, now it becomes very precarious. And so, there's no question while they accommodated Melvin Ingram, they made their defense worse by trading him. And so that's what they're going to be looking at now. T.J. Watt doesn't need surgery or anything like that. I'm going to guess he probably might miss a game. It's not like he just dinged his knee and he's going to be fine. But at least it's nothing serious.
Jerry Dulac from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette and the Pittsburgh Steelers Radio Network. It's going to be Steelers-Chargers this Sunday. Sunday Night Football once again for your Pittsburgh Steelers. And Jerry will be there along with Mike Pursuit and Bob Labriola on the pregame before we turn it over, rather they turn it over, to Bill Hillgrove and Craig Wolfley, Max Starks, Missy Matthews. Sunday night, Steelers-Chargers. Jerry D., thanks so much.
All right, Randall, I'm interested in seeing the carport at SoFi Stadium next week. I always like seeing the new stadiums. Then I get another one in Minnesota in another month, so kind of looking forward to that. I'm not looking forward to another tie, that's for sure.
Oh, it's going to be full of Steeler fans, too. Hopefully Ben will be back.
Yes, it will be.
Yeah. All right, we've got a power hour of Steeler Talk with Stan Saverin when we return.
Berg.
I had a gobblerito last week, but I had leftovers.
So you froze
and
it?
No, I ate it. And I could go for another one already.
I don't know if I could do Thanksgiving dinners through the entire summer. It's just, it's a heavy meal. It's a hearty meal.
Yeah, you're right about that.
Well, I wouldn't stuff a turkey and do all that, but, you put a turkey breast on and make some stuffing. If you go low-key with it.
I've eaten just stuffing for dinner. Like, just buy a package of stuffing and eat it. It's so good.
This stuffing's doing fine all by itself, yeah. Clark.
What'd you say?
You're eating mushy toast for breakfast,
yeah,
for dinner.
For dinner. Uh-huh.
You put gravy on it? Or
No. Nope. Just eat it plain.
Oh, you eat it dry.
That's how you did it?
Not dry. I cook it, Bill.
That's how you did it on the prairie back in the day.
Randy Bauman and the DVE Morning Show.
And he empties the set with Swifty. He fakes to Swifty, throws a screen to the left, almost intercepted. Cam Sutton broke in.
Severe weather, center 11.
35 degrees at DVE. The news is brought to us by Window Nation. Pittsburgh's official Christmas tree now in place. The 45-foot tall blue spruce donated by the Fuga family of Lincoln Place was installed on the steps of the city-county building over the weekend. The tree lighting ceremony takes place this Saturday as part of the 2021 Light Up Night festivities. A Southwest Airlines passenger is behind bars for allegedly punching a worker in the head. It happened Saturday as a flight from Dallas to New York was boarding. Police say the woman got into an argument with an agent and was told to get off the plane. Then she reportedly began arguing with another agent and then punched her. That worker now home recovering. The suspect is being held on $10,000 bond, facing an aggravated assault charge. And maybe this is something that should be reconsidered. United Airlines bringing back hard liquor today. Passengers will be allowed to buy the mini bottles again. The company has been offering beer, wine, and hard seltzer on long flights since June. Most airlines stopped serving alcohol last year because of the pandemic. American and Southwest both plan to revive sales in January after the federal mask mandate is lifted.
They should just allow the airline attendants to drink the entire time.
It's going to turn into like Roadhouse.
Oh, yeah, I'm airplanes. All for that. Hey, mijo.
Roadhouse.
Why don't you take your seat, mijo?
Well, is age really just a number? In a new survey of people 65 and up, 72% said they feel younger than they are, and half said they feel younger than 50. Getting older, not all bad. 84% said they've more or less embraced the aging process, and the average age you stop caring so much about it is 43.
Stan, how old do you feel relative to your age? You don't feel your age.
I absolutely do not. Although after watching that crap yesterday, I felt 109.
We all got older watching.
109 today.
According to the poll, these are the five best things about getting older. Having more free time.
Sure.
64% said yeah. Not having kids around, they said, really frees up your day. Retiring. Being able to relax more. Spending more quality time with family. And speaking your mind and not caring what other people
That's
think.
Why Stan's radio show is so good.
None of those five apply to me.
No.
Well, you're certainly not retiring. Then you don't have more free time.
I don't have more free time.
You speak your mind.
I speak my mind, and I always have. I didn't have children, so they weren't around. What was the fifth one?
Being able to relax more.
No.
Oh, spending quality time with your family.
Yeah, that's not a positive. You ever met my family?
Yeah.
They don't live here anyway.
Right.
And that's finally, after years of trying, Britney Spears has finally managed to break free from her conservatorship. Judge Brenda Penny declared the conservatorship ended immediately after a very short hearing Friday afternoon. According to a TMZ report, the judge gathered all parties in the case and asked them one by one if there was any objection to ending the 13-year arrangement. Nobody did, so Britney is now free to marry her fiancé, Sam Asghari, buy a home, decide whether or not to have a baby, which she wants to do, rumor has it. Her lawyer, Matt Rosengart, did not rule out the idea of suing Britney's dad, Jamie, or her former manager, Lou Taylor, for misusing millions of dollars of Britney's money. TMZ also reporting Britney wants to get back into the studio to record, but at this point has no plans to perform live again in the foreseeable future. Windy, flurries, 40 for the high today. It's 35 at DVE.
Stan Savernin now for this Power Hour of Steeler Talk. Now, Stan, you let it be known during the break that while I was saying, look, Mason did what you can expect from a number two quarterback. He wasn't perfect by any stretch of the imagination, but you are not letting him off the hook quite as easily as I am.
No, I think the people around him didn't do what they needed to do to support him given the circumstances. But that doesn't absolve him either. You cannot miss that many wide-open receivers. Mm-hmm. Now, those receivers don't get great separation, but when they do, you better hit them. Look, Ben hasn't been great this season. But if Ben's playing yesterday, they win the game.
Without a doubt.
So
blowout.
I mean, I, you just can't miss that many wide open receivers. Now, they got to help him out with a big catch. You can't drop balls. You can't fumble. But still, the play on the goal line, that entire sequence, I just lost it after that. First and goal at the 5-yard line, and you're going to pass three times. And I mentioned during the break, I don't make a habit, and I don't do it very often, about criticizing play calling because we seldom say great play call when things work out. But I'm very sorry. First and goal at the 5-yard line, and you throw the ball three times after, in essence, Najee got you there, and you've got that weapon. And forget about the Steelers. This is for any team at any level. If it's first and goal, unless you're on the one, if it's first and goal, if you pass on first down, then you're pretty much obligated to passing on second and third. Run the ball on first down and then see where you're at, and that'll dictate what you do next. If you lose two, well, you're going to pass. But if you're incomplete on first down, and let's remember, we're talking about Mason Rudolph here, who hadn't played in a regular game since last January, last season. Now you're going to put the ball in his hands instead of Najee Harris's hands. It's not a great running game, but he's a great running back. And then the third down pass, Ray McLeod wide open, and he throws a grounder to him. You can't have that. And again, Deontay Johnson, who has his separate issues, wide open, misses him badly on a slant. Mm-hmm. The interception to Bellage, again, he's not going to hit everyone. I'm not demanding perfection, but if you expect to win a game even against a lousy team like that, you've got to be better than that, and he wasn't. Again, it's not all his fault. The run defense is awful. Changes need to be made. Mm-hmm. Isaiah Buggs is terrible. He's never going to get any better. We don't know when Tua's
getting... Someone should tell him.
I just did. I hope he's listening. I said yesterday on the postgame show, I had a chance to interview Casey Hampton this weekend, the Hall of Honor induction stuff, He's not around. I wish he was.
Yeah.
But he was. Isaiah Loudermilk is the guy who ought to be playing there on the nose. You know, they're just getting shoved around. But I mean, back to Mason again. It's not all his fault. It's not all on him. Absolutely not. But I also look at the last play of the game from the Steelers' perspective. That pass to Freiermuth.
Yeah.
I have no problem with trying to get an extra 5 yards. You're asking Boz to kick a 57-yarder in the rain. 5 yards, from 52, you can feel relatively confident. So, I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. But even if Pat Freiermuth doesn't fumble, it's over.
Yeah.
Because there's no way, unless he gets out of bounds, and there was no way he was going to do that, then there's no way, 15 seconds left, he catches the ball and say the play takes 4 seconds. There's no way you're going to be able to get everybody up to the line of scrimmage, spike, and then get forget about getting the field goal unit on. You don't have enough time to get the spike. Plus, the line's going to be lollygagging around. My point is that as the quarterback, Pat Freiermuth sees a ball, he's going to catch it. My argument is, as the quarterback, you have to make a decision. Unless that guy is a foot from the sideline and you know he's going to be able to get out of bounds, then you throw it away.
Yeah. Even
if he doesn't fumble, the game's over. You got to throw that away and give Boz at least a chance at the 57-yarder.
Further buttressing your argument about the goal line play calling, their argument was, well, they loaded up the box. This is the 29th ranked run defense in the NFL. Even if they load it up, go ahead and take a couple shots with Najee.
At least one.
Because if you get to fourth and, or not fourth and, but if you get to, second or third and a foot or two, he can dive over. He dove from the 4-yard line last week.
Right. I agree. He's still in the air. I think that not only Matt Canada, but a lot of offensive coordinators, it gets down to this. I know that you know that I know that you know, and the problem with it is you need as an offense to dictate to the defense. Don't constantly let the defense dictate to you. And you'll say, well, we can't run butt our heads against the wall. You're getting away from what you do best. Now, their running game isn't great. And maybe if Ben is the quarterback, I still wouldn't have liked it, but I like the Steelers' chances a lot better if he's the quarterback. No offense to Mason, but he's not Ben. But my point is this, when you allow the defense to dictate, you're going away from what you do, I won't say best, but better. And that's the problem. You're allowing them to tell you, it's like, well, you know this hitter's a good fastball hitter. I better not throw a fastball, even though it's my best pitch. At some point, I'm going to throw you my best pitch, and let's see if you can hit it.
Devin Bush continuing to struggle.
Who?
If he tackles Iwabuike on that 42-yard touchdown run, I'd like the Steelers' chances to keep them out of the end zone there. And that produces a different score at the end of the game.
A terrible red zone offense. You know, one of the worst, by the way, one of the, as you said, one of the worst red zone defenses. There's a reason they were 0-8.
Yeah.
You know, Bush is just, I mean, he committed the holding penalty on the Mink interception.
And another game changer.
Although it's fair to say that if he doesn't hold, the chances are there's no interception. Being honest about it.
I was wondering that same
thing.
Yeah,
I mean, it's probably incomplete at worst. He's non-existent. He doesn't make any plays. I don't look at tackle totals because how many tackles you get, I don't care if you made a tackle 12 yards downfield. I want to know how many you make 1 yard up the field. He's too small. I don't know if it's the knee issue. One of the things I wonder about him with the knee, and I'm not going to use an excuse, but I think it's a reason, is that at his size, he uses his quickness to evade blocks. Now, there's a quick step, you know, get away from a guy. You know, if he gets into a battle with a 320-pound guard, he's not going to win that battle. But his quickness, now, is his quickness compromised? But I know this, the 10th overall selection in the draft ought to be better than that. And it's not only him. It's not only him. They were getting blown off the ball. They're getting pushed around, just like we saw in many occasions this year. The line, middle linebackers, inside linebackers, are supposed to be, you know, the run stoppers. And I asked Tomlin this question about 3 weeks ago. Would you please evaluate the play of the middle inside linebackers, or is it tethered to the performance of the defensive line?
I remember this.
Keeping, you know, those guys have to keep blockers off Schobert and Devin Bush. And he said, you're right, that is part of the problem, but they need to be better. Well, they haven't been better. We saw Seattle run the ball, and we saw the Bears run the ball. And yesterday was an absolute embarrassment. They were getting their asses kicked. First contact, 6, 7, 8 yards downfield, and then there was contact and no tackle. And it's time for all of them, to stop this roll shoulder blocking tackle BS. Put your shoulder in there.
Minka loves
and,
doing
oh,
that.
Yes, he does, and he's very seldom successful at it. Put your shoulder in there. You want to put a shoulder down? Put it in the guy's midsection and wrap.
Stan Saverin on fire. Quick break. We'll come back. More of the Power Hour of Steeler Talkings.
DVE Sports.
Okay, we got Stan Saverin in studio for Power Hour of Steeler Talk. Mike Pursuta now with your sports on DVE. Mike.
Sports is brought to you by your neighborhood Ford store. The Steelers' offense struggled without Ben Roethlisberger in that 16-16 tie with the Lions yesterday, but those struggles not attributed to the last-second nature of Mason Rudolph having to step in. That according to Steelers head coach Mike Tomlin yesterday.
Really wasn't a lot of adjustments. He was symptomatic on Saturday. We tested him. He was positive. We're thoughtful about distancing him from the group anyway, you know, in an effort to protect him. And so wasn't a lot of concern about contacts and things of that nature. We just simply elevated Dwayne Haskins and moved forward.
Kudos to Ben for doing the right thing there, by the way. Not that that's something that we should have to point out, but in this day and age in the NFL, I mean, do you think Aaron Rodgers would have reported symptoms?
He didn't.
Yeah, it cost him $14,000.
That's so laughable. Oh, God, the NFL is such a joke. Well, that's how addicted we are to it. They do things to just that are just like, you know, so unbelievably arrogant, and we can't do anything about it because we need our next fix.
Absolutely. I'm with you.
Mm-hmm.
The offense struggled without Roethlisberger. That's not exactly an unforeseen development, but what's been really troubling, and Randy, you've been harping on this all morning, and I'm with you, that run-pass ratio got way out of whack.
What are
and why,
doing?
on a crappy day with your backup quarterback and a depleted receiving core, when you were still running the ball decent, if not well, why did they throw the ball 50 times? Here's Mason Rudolph talking about that.
We want to run the ball. We you know, that's been an emphasis for us all year, and I think we've done a better job of that if you look at the last few weeks. Every team's different. You know, a lot of times, you know, when you have seven people in the box and you got six to block, you got to make a play on the outside and know that running into that, it's a numbers game. It's how we teach, you know, offensive football. So, you know, they were we had to throw it at times, but you know, I think there were times we ran the ball well and we got to get better across the board.
And that's a little insight into how Mason Rudolph plays. He counts and then he does what he's supposed to do.
Right, and we talked about it earlier, how Ben said even when the lineup dictated throw, they would stick with the run as a means of establishing it despite what they were showing on the other side, because that's how you really set up some play action later on in the game. Not every single time they have that. We opt to the pass, which is something Ben Roethlisberger could probably do and get away with, but Mason, on no preparation time for that game, probably should have been thinking more conservatively in those situations. But hey, listen, at least Matt Canada wasn't running jet sweep after jet sweep in the middle of a monsoon yesterday.
No, but he was running bubble screens on second and one when they had an opportunity to go ahead and, you know, take a 14-0 lead. Not that that it's like the Penguins having a 2-goal lead, but I just the 4-game winning streak, the run-pass ratio was right at 50-50.
Well, it was 129 and 130.
Okay.
And the extra pass was Boswell.
Yeah, right, and the fake field goal. Yeah. So, okay, so this is what you have.
That was your identity that they'd been looking for all season.
And this is what I was talking about earlier, Mike. It's that, well, I know that he knows, that he knows that I know, and you're allowing the other team to dictate what you're going to do. They're taking away your best pitch, so I'm not going to throw it. My curveball isn't as good as my fastball, but he can't hit a curveball, so this
totally.
Is exactly what I'm talking
Absolutely.
About.
Absolutely.
You know, we had talked about this.
Living in your fears, I think they call that, Stan.
We talked about Detroit potentially loading up the box in the pregame show with Max Starks and Craig Wolfley during their segment in the trenches on the theory that, hey, if you're the Lions, you got Mason Rudolph, maybe you don't think much of Mason Rudolph, and you say, all right, go ahead, beat us, Mason Rudolph. We're not letting Najee Harris dictate this game. And Max said, they probably won't do that because they don't have the cornerbacks to hold up outside. And he was right, they don't. But the Steelers didn't have the passing game to exploit it. They tried to, but they didn't do it. And therein lies part of the problem as well. The biggest issues right now are not opportunity lost against Detroit. It's the status of Ben Roethlisberger and the status of T.J. Watt, who exited the game in the third quarter with hip and knee problems. Here's Cam Hayward on T.J.
I am not John Norwig, and I will never think I am. You know, that is their job. I was just checking on my guy. He was in good spirits, but, you know, you can take that for what it's worth.
Yeah, I was told he was walking around in the locker room after the game, for what that's worth. I mean,
Ian Rappaport saying he's going to miss some time. That doesn't exactly sound like insight to me. But
well, he's supposed to have scans this morning. You know, that's the next step. You know, the other thing, what about Hayden? Although I thought James Pierre was one of the few who had a really solid game. But both guards went out. Not that they're, you know, it's right. Not Alan Faneca, but both guards. Finney wasn't active. So you finish the game, you know, with Hague and Hassenauer as your guards. That's another issue. I doubt, Mike, I don't think we'll see Claypool Sunday, do you?
Don't know. I know this. After watching yesterday, it's going to be uphill if Roethlisberger's not playing.
Oh, absolutely. Because you're going to have to score points to beat them.
You would think.
Do you think Najee scores on that touchdown regardless if the Dan Moore holding penalty doesn't happen there? If he doesn't hold that guy, does Najee still get in the end zone?
Oh, that's always a tough call.
It's a tough one, right?
Of course, Najee, you know, even a guy in a position to make a tackle, lowers his shoulder and knocks the guy down.
Right.
There's always that.
Boy, he is a tough runner.
Yes,
man.
He is. He's a tough guy.
And he protects the ball, unlike Deontay Johnson.
He really is good at that.
Pat Freiermuth.
Deontay Johnson, I can't believe the way he holds the ball. It just looks like it's ready to pop out. Him and Ray Ray, both of them. It's maddening.
Yeah, you just got to know at that point that that's what's coming next. And inexplicable that he would pick that point of the game to forget the situation and try something that he shouldn't have been trying. And Freiermuth, you know, we've been banging the drum all season. Throw him the ball, throw him the ball. That's an unfortunate mistake he made. But
as Stan pointed out, it doesn't matter. They're not going to get another playoff there if he's not going out of bounds.
Well, they think 15 seconds is enough.
Well, there wouldn't have been 15 seconds.
No,
when the play started.
Yeah, I'm just telling you what they think when they run that play.
Well,
they're saying that's enough time. We can get down and get up and spike it.
Well, here's what I think. They're wrong. Okay. I'm right. Like that wrestler, I used to be on the back of him saying, I am right.
Yeah.
There's no way. The fumbles, I mean, it's unfortunate. It's irrelevant. There's no way. Let's say the play takes 4 seconds. Lions are going to be lollygagging around. You're going to get everybody to the line of scrimmage. Unpile, get everybody to the line of scrimmage. In 9-10 seconds, if he's not a foot from the sideline, you don't make the throw.
Right.
I just didn't understand the depth of the route. I mean, the line of scrimmage was the 39, and they threw it to the 38. Is that the way the play was designed? Was the route run poorly? I don't know. It's just another.
Is that the only guy?
Another lack of execution at a critical time by an offense that scored on its first possession and spent the rest of the day getting in its own way.
Yeah. I still go back to kicking a field goal, 4th and goal from the 2. You know, who knows what kind of triple X flea flicker they would have come up there to try to score a touchdown.
All right, if you think you're frustrated now, stick around. We're going to go through some of the worst plays from yesterday's game.
This is a hard choice.
Well, because we usually do top plays of the game.
Hard one to narrow down.
Yeah, but, you know, Bill, we figured we'd go bottom plays of the game here for this week because it's...
Oh, you have to.
This was a bottomless pit of misery, and they made us watch as long as the rules allow. All the way to the end of... Overtime.
A dead end.
Overtimes used to be 15 minutes, by the way. So if you're looking for a silver lining.
Yeah. Well, Crowley tweeted this out, and I don't know that he's wrong. They could have played 6 overtimes, and the score would still be 16-16.
when they did the kickoff in overtime and the Lions chose to receive, I turned around to somebody next to her. I said, I would have kicked. Even though a touchdown can get you beat on the first possession of overtime, and tried to play field position, figuring, well, my offense isn't going to do anything, but theirs isn't either, so I'll get them to punt and get the ball around the 50 and see if I can pull a first down out of the backside and then kick it. Of course, they didn't have a kicker either.
Well, whoever that dude was, he's a clown. Dan Campbell is not in any position to be answering, why did you not take the ball in overtime?
Yeah, there's no question. He gets skewered if that happens.
All right, let's take a quick break. We'll come back. More with Stan Saverin, Power Hour, Steeler Talk. It's your radio home of the Pittsburgh Steelers, 102.5 DVE, the DVE Morning Show. All right. That was a hot bullet. Turd mud yesterday. Just.
Turd mud.
Awful.
Sounds unsatisfying.
So instead of doing the top plays of the game, we're doing the bottom plays of the game. Stan, we thought you'd love this. Here's the worst of the worst from yesterday. First, the play that we are arguing about. Which part of this play is the worst aspect? Ugh. That he actually fumbled it or that they threw it to him at all?
And in the shotgun, Rudolph takes the snap. Throws the out. It's pulled in by Freiermuth. And the ball is out, and they dive for it. And I think the Lions have fallen on it. Yep, it is Deshaun Hand who ended up with the football on Freiermuth's mistake. 8 seconds to go.
Booth. So you're trying to tell me that in 8 seconds, even if he hangs on to it, everybody's going to get up and sprint.
4, 3, 2, 1. Right there.
I was actually at a game a long time ago where there was just still 1 second left.
Oh, yeah. What game was that, Mike?
That was a game where we ran the clock.
Mason Rudolph.
Exactly.
Mason Rudolph. We just asked him yesterday, don't make any big mistakes. Well, he made a crucial one early.
Here's the snap. Three-man rush. He throws it. Oh, and it's intercepted. It was over the head of the intended receiver. Oh. And that was Balazs coming out of the backfield and intercepted by the Lions. They pull it in. And keeping it off the surface is Okwara. Julian Okwara, second-year linebacker out of Notre Dame, and the Lions play takeaway.
Billy reacted like somebody just put something really disgusting-smelling underneath his nose. Someone opened a rancid can of tuna.
The game. The game was the rancid smell that you heard.
That sounded like a call from the preseason. Mason Rudolph intercepted for Balazs. What?
Yeah. Intended receiver was Balazs. Now, I don't know. Did Balazs run the wrong route there? I don't think so. I think Mason just sailed it.
That was my first thought because the pass was so far away.
Bad.
And I thought, did he run the wrong route? Yeah. And I thought, well.
I will say, though, Deontay Johnson and Mason had trouble connecting on one where he either ran the wrong route or threw it to the wrong place. And I thought, well, you know what? You know, Deontay consistently does that with both quarterbacs. That's something that he and
equal opportunity screw up.
Well, speaking of Deontay Johnson, oh my God. Why were you holding the ball like this at this point in the game?
Back is Mason. He throws it down the field. It's pulled in. Deontay Johnson with a great move up over the 50, the 45. The ball came out, and the Lions fall on it at the 43. He had a big play, and it went the other way on the fumble on the hit by Mark Gilbert.
He made the mud pie, and then I ate the receipt and did the mud pie.
Clown show.
Mark Gilbert. When's the last time you heard his name? When the Steelers cut their roster in training
preseason.
Camp.
Related to Sean Gilbert.
No situational awareness there from Deontay Johnson.
He said after the game when he was interviewed that he didn't see the guy coming. Well, guess what? There's 22 bodies on the field. You're not going to see everybody. You've got to feel what's around you. Anticipate what might happen. You've got to feel. Like quarterbacks, they don't always see the passers, but they can sense that they're there. Yeah. And that's part of being a really good receiver.
It's not a video game. Just because you got by somebody doesn't mean they're not still coming for you. Another bottom play. All game, Kendrick Green tried to snap it over Mason's head. Finally, after trying several times, he got his wish.
If at first.
Ball in the left hash. Oh, the snap goes over his head. Najee picks it up. Najee's going to be hit back at the 23-yard line and down. The snap has been high a couple of times, but this one was reminiscent of the Cleveland playoff game last year, unfortunately.
Yeah, you should put together a supercut of all the Bill Hillgrove reactions from the terrible play.
This game turned him into Sally Wiggins.
Oh.
I think you guys are all missing the big picture here. Unlike the Cleveland game last year, they got back and recovered it. Najee Harris, baby.
Yeah. Well, that's because, you know, Ben Roethlisberger and James Conner were doing the Superman meme. Who should get it? You. No, you should get it. You. No, yo, no, you get it. You. Jump on.
You said good recovery, Spider.
I thought you said good. You get it, Spider.
You know, one of those, actually, Mason, I gave him credit early in the game. There was one of those. He picked up the ball and made a completion. Yeah. He showed great poise on that. I don't know if you know, Ben is 6'5", Mason's 6'2", but that one we just played, Kareem couldn't have handled that one.
Can we get Kareem to start a quarterback next week?
He's out in L.A. He's right there.
He's
out there.
He's available.
All last week, if you listen to this radio program, you heard me say the Steelers have got to contain Godwin Igwabike.
That's the key.
Not only could they not do that, they had, what, 8 chances to tackle him on this? If they tackle, they're probably not going to get in the end zone if you just stop this guy because they stink in the red zone. They're terrible.
They stink at everything. They're the Lions. They're winless.
The only way they can win.
The loins.
You do this.
They give off the right side, and he slides through a hole again. The Steelers miss a tackle. He's at the 30, the 25. Igwabike into the 10 to the 5, and that's a 42-yard touchdown run. Nobody tackled him.
42
yard touchdown run. Nobody tackled him.
The worst part is that, if I'm not mistaken, I have to get the exact measurement. I don't think he had any contact until he was 15 yards past the line of scrimmage.
Devin Bush had him at the 15-yard line. Now, if you tackle him at the 15-yard line, good chance you can hold him to a field goal.
How about hitting him 5 yards from the line of scrimmage? That's how big the holes were. I'm telling you, sitting up there, you get a better perspective.
Yeah.
The holes were massive.
They missed Stephon Tuitt. They missed Tyson Alualu. No doubt about it. And it's exposing a middle linebacking core that is less than we're used to.
And partially compromised because of the two guys they're missing there. But still. That's...
All right, Stan, we need more therapy as the day goes on. Who do you have on to help Steeler fans cope today?
Charlie Batch will join me. He's no happier. Tom Bradley will be joining me. And, well, this is a bright spot. The Penguins weren't competitive in either game over the weekend, so you can't fall back on that. Mike Lang, the Hall of Famer, hopefully will lift our spirits today at 1 o'clock.
Boy, Sid just threw that guy into the boards yesterday.
They weren't even competitive. I did that Hall of Honor radio program in SNR.
Yeah.
And got out about 7:45 or something, so I said, oh, good. I got home just in time to watch Ottawa score 4 goals against them in the second period. And last night... never in the game. Trouble.
You know it's bad when Pitt is the bright spot of the weekend for Pittsburgh fans.
Yeah.
Yeah, Penn State came from ahead against Michigan. Nice job letting the tight end go 48 yards on a shallow cross.
I think that was Ingwe. It was the same guy.
Thanks to Tim Benz, Jerry Dulac as well. Tomorrow's show, Charlie Batch, Gene Steratore. Boy, we'll have a lot to kick around with him. I still think it was a safety. I think it was a safety. I do. I get that first contact is out there, but he hasn't given up on the play until he was in the end zone.
I'd look at it again, but mercifully, I think God was looking out for me. Somehow my DVR effed up and my game didn't record.
Lucky you. Also, our friend Tammy Pescatelli will be joining us a couple times this week.
I'm not watching it a second time.
She's going to be at the Improv Friday. Michelle has the electric lunch coming up next at noon. All right. It's a black mark on the standings. Yes, 5-3-1. When it's a loss, you don't think about it anymore because it's just in the loss column. But when it's that one just dangling there, it's like a big mole on your nose.
It's better than a loss.
I know it is.
They moved up in the standings yesterday.
Just this much.
How?
It might help them, actually, in terms of tiebreaker issues.
It might help me in terms of tiebreaker issues, because now I don't think we have to worry about it the last month of the season. Well, if these guys lose to these guys in the conference record and strength of victory in average Eastern Mississippi in night games.
Oh, yeah. So you're saying you won't have to do the math.
No, I don't want to do the math.
But you do get extra credit for throwing the ball 50 times.
Yeah. All right. Well, now it's on to Justin Herbert and company in L.A., historically full of Steeler fans, these games. Though after yesterday's game, they may want to go into hiding.
Well, one thing, if you're looking for positives, and it's pretty hard, going into yesterday's games, and I'll have to add them up from yesterday, visiting teams had a record of 70-64. And it was enhanced yesterday because... Carolina goes into Arizona and wins. Philadelphia goes into Denver and wins. And on, Kansas City goes into Vegas and wins big. I don't know what it is about visiting teams, but they're a plus 500 in NFL games this year. Hard to figure.
You know, I asked yesterday on Twitter, who gets the game ball after a tie? And most people... said anybody who sat through that game should get something.
Exactly.
I want to actually give you a last-second revision on the worst plays. The worst play to me should be the opening kickoff, because if they never would have done that, we wouldn't have had to sit through that.
Go back in time and kill baby football.
Oh, boy. All right.
That's it. Michelle's up next. Have a great day, everybody. And this feeling will pass. You beat the Chargers, you'll forget all about this. Now all you have to do is just go out to Los Angeles and beat the Chargers. We're good at doing that. We've done that.
At least we don't have to wait till Sunday night.
Oh, wait. Well, it's not Monday night, at least. All right.
I've been waiting all day for Sunday night.
We're out of here. Have a good one. See ya.
I'm finished. You stay classy, Pittsburgh.
Don't touch your face.
I got him dead, Pittsburgh. All day, baby.
For now, you gotta call me Ronald.
Would you not eat my pants?
Ronald.
Ah! Yoink.